listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
I'll give to Larry. Let's see. What do you do? Does he have speaking? I can't see any icon on him. Can you put there? Hi, everybody. Welcome to Saturday Night with Kay Vidir Delirium. Ah, Delirium, we will give you grant talk power. Hello, Delirium.
Hello. Talk power granted.
You got right. It, man. The talk power. In life, it's like, sir, excuse me, sir, at your work. I have talk power. It's been granted. You need to shut up. So, you were talking about you had been doing a lot of research of Andrews Breivik.
Nope. Anders.
Anders
Breivik, yeah.
Anders Breivik. He's from?
Norway.
Norway.
Supposedly.
What was the name of that incident? Is there like a name?
Ottawa. Not Ottawa. Utoya.
Utoya. I'll Google Andrews. Anders.
Ottawa. Utoya.
Yeah, that's my Anders Breivik. Breivik. Their name of it. Norway's worst nightmare.
Oh yeah. 33 by gunfire. That's the first thing I saw when I searched for Utoya shooting. 33 by gunfire, including one later fatality.
There's just one fatality?
No. First thing I see when I search for Utoya shooting is 2000 Norway attacks, and it says at least 110 parentheses 33 by gunfire. Including one later fatality. So,
33. Woohoo!
Yeah. No. Look right at 2011 Norway attacks in Wikipedia. It says claiming a total of 77 lives. What do you know about 77777? That's like another code they use. But 33 that I first saw. I want to see what that's about. Says Utoya at least 110 parentheses 33 by gunfire, including one later fatality. That's what I see through. Cool.
That's like all the magic numbers wrapped up in one.
Yep.
Right there. That I notice with these things, these shootings, is that in order to make them good photography, to get good headshots, like a lot of them are hurt in the head. So you like. There was one more dance.
No.
You know, they don't, like, do anything. It's like they stand there, and then when they get interviewed, there's blood dripping down their head, and they don't wipe it away. It's like...
ridiculous. Norway was one of the worst for this. That's where I first started really seeing it. They wrap their head in bandages. What do you call it? I don't know, but...
Oh, just the ace. Not even the ace. That gauze wrap stuff.
Yeah, gauze. And they're not bleeding from there. And you'll see them in other pictures with their heads totally unwrapped and there's nothing wrong with their head, you know? And this is where the unicorn lady was, right?
Yeah. She's all right, stick, right? Sticking right out of her head.
Yeah. Unicorn blast. But here's some more things from 2011 Norway attack. Breivik gained access to the island and subsequently opened fire on the participants, killing 69 of them, injuring at least 110 people, 55 of them seriously. 69th victim died in a hospital 2 days after the massacre. Numbers.
Wow,
I still
want to
know what this third down was about, yeah. Oh, it claimed a total of 77 lives. That's what it says right in the opening entry of the attack.
Well, they're not even afraid. They're like, right? Post it out there. Don't be afraid. Throw all of them.
Yeah. But the funny thing about Breivik is it's hard to find anything of him looking like a real person like we were talking about in the chat. And I don't think you've seen any live footage of Breivik's in court case in the courtroom during the trial or after the trial.
Was it sketched like that, kind of?
Oh, actually, they showed video footage of him supposedly there, but you just get kind of a few still frames or whatever. You don't get any real video of it, I don't think. It was a 32-year-old Norwegian right-wing extremist. Have you seen those pictures of him dressed up in Masonic regalia or whatever?
No. Really?
Yeah.
He's kind of young to be a Mason, isn't he?
At the right age to be entry-level,
I guess. They're all like
50. Yeah.
Like, where's that town where they got young Masons? Because in this state, you know, they're all super old people. I wonder if that's like a honeypot kind of thing to show him as that.
Oh, no, that was one of the main things he was showed in, is like on the conspiracy side of things, that he was, you know, he was a Mason and carrying out an order from whatever. But it was all a hoax, man. Those kids didn't die on the island. You never saw any proof of any of it. And Clues 1 points out all the Vixim shit. They have like upside down hands and ridiculous victim stuff. But we were talking about
obvious fakery, right?
Yeah. We were talking about the idea of a perp or someone being actually totally CGI. And I think Anders Breivik was one of the first ones. He at least had that, you know, you had the Benjamin Button thing going on with they can put a fake face on an actor or something. They can CGI a portion of it and have people acting underneath it. I think that he might have been that way, or just, I don't know, but just, you should check out the Utoya Norway shooting on Clues Forum and see what all they've gathered about that.
I looked at some of it, like when they referenced the Unicorn Woman. I went and looked at that, but I don't think I've read the entire thread. So, but you make it sound very interesting. I'm going to go do that. Dear, you and I got a date, right? To go visit the Utoya shooting, Clues Forum. We're going to do that. I don't want to go alone. You know, I want to be there with somebody.
Maybe there's a memorial for it in Oslo.
oh my God, you're probably right. And in a frame is bloodstained gauze. Actually, no blood at all, just gauze. There you go. From the shooting. So CGI, a total CGI human. There's no film of him, but does he have a history where people can document him from birth to, well, as much as can be documented?
There's no telling, man. If you search for Breivik, Breivik, Mason. You see what I'm talking about with him and his little Mason regalia. He has this shit with him holding up a sniper rifle or something, pointing towards the camera, totally staged shit. And he's holding up the communist fist, pointing forward. Like, this guy was supposed to be a fascist, right? And he's holding up the communist fist. Whatever, man. This all looks ridiculous.
And they got the symbols crossed.
Yeah, and the same picture where he's in the Masonic regalia is the same picture where he's suited out in a military uniform. It was like the same exact angle almost. Just dumb. I don't think this guy really. I don't think he exists. It's
well,
like
he's
much
got
of the other
pictures of him like a sniper, right? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, if you just look at the pictures of Breivik, it looks like he's aiming a sniper rifle in a full-out military uniform. You know, then you'll see him with his little apron, Masonic apron, and then another one, like a military honorary uniform or something. But several of them look like characters we might say were cartoons.
Is he in front of, like, a gray background? Is there any background ever in these?
Yeah, that's what you see, too, right? It's always a white background with this guy just standing in the middle of it. What'd you search for, Breivik? Like,
Breivik Mason outfit. B-R-E-I-V-I-K.
Yeah, and you see the white background's always behind him.
Yeah.
Like he's a cut and paste something.
Brevik. He is cut and paste. What's going on? It's creepy.
Yep. If you see the one with him in the Mason teal blue apron, looks like almost the same position as him in the full, whatever the hell, military regalia he's trying to pull off there. On the same white background, like back to back. Then you'll see him with the sniper rifle up to his eye. The same white background. Like there's never a change in this background of what this guy was on. And if you go into clues for them, they point out several things that happened during the trial. Like, you'll see a few shots from there. And remember what you guys were pointing out at Sandy Hook, like the gray hand and blurred faces and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Same stuff was happening in the Brevik trial. Like, the police officer would disappear, or his face would go blurred, or would have a totally dark hand. A long thread. I think it's over 80 pages, probably. Utoya.
80. Oh, wow. What do you recommend? Start where? The middle? Front? End? Go back?
Yeah. If I don't know anything about it, I'll probably start from the end and go backwards. See how much more I can convince myself once they figured it all out, you know?
That's a problem, right? You're like... I think I can get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really like the organization of Clues Forum. You know, just everyone keeping this continuous thread of ideas and adding to it. And
yeah,
although
exactly.
It's scary that they correct each other out in the open, that kind of makes me want to shy away from that.
So the latest ideas will be at the end of the thread, but go back further to try to confirm it, you know, and see what else has come up. That's kind of how I look at it. When did you start looking at this type of stuff?
Kind of been doing UFOs for a while.
Oh, yeah?
I was trying to figure it out. It's like, what is up with this shit? Why isn't the government up in arms? I'm in the 90s, I think. They had these UFO movies. Okay, they were in the 70s. I don't want to give away my age. But anyway, they had these UFO movies you could go to the theater and see. You know, the one hubcap things flying around.
Yeah.
So I've been interested in, I just like science anyway. So it was kind of like I was reading science fiction. It's like the space stuff. I'm like, I'm going to watch this. It's like, why isn't the government, if this is true, aren't they up in arms about this? Is this total bullshit? Am I watching bullshit? Because the government knows it's dumb. So I've kind of at that point I've been trying to figure out what's bullshit and why isn't the government reacting to it? They're supposed to protect us.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I used to really like that stuff. I still listen to it some. I mean, they still kind of mix that in with our whole idea of what we're seeing as conspiracies. They'll say that it's extraterrestrials are doing it to us, you know, shapeshifters or whatever.
I know. I mean, why can't we just say, is that thing up there or not? That's it. I don't care. Is it up or not? And then I went to like this UFO conference and I think I talked about it before, but what a bunch of freaks there. Like, look at a woman in a green dress with a big tall green collar, you know, like you see in the sci-fi movie capes.
Yeah.
And she's walking around like that. I'm like, oh, come on, sweetie. I think she glued a jewel to her forehead or something. And right next to her, you had actual PhD doctors discussing hypnosis and the possibility of understanding alien abduction under hypnosis. So at this one dinner, I sat at a table with three of these doctors sat there, PhDs from actual universities. And they said, because we started talking about this, they said probably 98 cases out of 100, all their alien memories are faked, or they've been led in, right? Or they've been led incorrectly. They said, but there's the two of them, and that's why we're here. They can't trick. So he talked to me about how they under, you know, when they're out, how he can lead them. He has to lead. What they do is they lead them down the wrong path of the hallway or the door, wherever they say they're at. And if the person under hypnosis corrects them, they say, no, I go to the left. Oh, okay, sorry. So what they are looking for is, first they let him tell the story. And the next time under hypnosis, well, the first time's under hypnosis. The next time under hypnosis, they wrote down the story, but they, and then, because they lead them, they go, oh, and then at this point, and that's how, why they know to change the story on the guy who's under hypnosis, because he already did it one more time. And they keep changing it, and if they don't correct them, then it's really not their dream. So 2 out of 100 people were able to correct the doctor and how to get through the house or whatever that was, the alien abduction thing. 98% were led easily one way. Now, they still might have been abducted, but they were also led, so their testimony is untrustworthy.
Hey, but you know, they have these shows on, like, History Channel, Ancient Aliens and stuff. That's not considered, you see people calling that out as conspiracy retards or whatever. Oh, and it's on History Channel. They're sitting there talking about aliens created us or whatever, and that's not considered conspiracy idiots, but if you go against anything that you read in the media day by day, they'll call you a conspiracy idiot, you know? So it's like the whole alien thing is acceptable now, but if you say the government's lying to you about anything else, it's not acceptable. A weird double standard to me.
That's a great point.
Yep.
I'm going to repeat that. So you're saying, oh, my cookies are done. Hold up.
Yeah, hold on a second. I'll be right back too.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. He can call me right back. Hey, V.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Wonderful. Just catching up with this.
Did you ever believe in aliens or look into that?
I haven't really looked into the alien thing.
There are some strange things that can't be explained, and they're pretty bizarre. Some stories I heard from people I trust, but I don't think it's TV like they show in the movies or the internet.
Yeah. We're probably just a speck off of something bigger. But as to whether they can get here, I don't know.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. There?
Yeah.
Hey.
You're back. Are you back?
Okay, so I switched over to my phone.
What kind of phone do you have?
Hey, Derillium.
Hey.
So did you ever, I asked Vadir while you were gone if she, I believed in UFOs at a time. And I still believe something strange might be happening I can't explain. I'm not going to say absolutely no, but I think movies and TV and so much disinfo on aliens. What is up with that? Explain that, Derillium.
Yeah, it's definitely part of the narrative, isn't it? Right. Aliens and what else?
Oh, that's a tough one. Aliens are totally accepted now, you know? I mean, it's totally going mainstream, like the idea that we may have been created by aliens, or there's definitely another realm or dimension or solar system with life. I sort of lean towards the idea that that's just... They want to make you think that you're not very significant and Earth isn't, and there's life like us beyond here. But I don't know how to explain all the history of that that's been discussed in the past, you know, as far as conspiracy goes. It does seem like Ancient Aliens, the show on History Channel now, it's on the History Channel, seriously. That's just...
That's history. Wait a minute.
It's history.
Is this real, honey? It's on the History Channel.
I don't know. I think it's going to be harder in other generations to come to figure out what's real and what's not.
Yeah.
Anders Breivik stuff while you're talking. And I just think, see how it's just all put together.
Sorry, you're breaking up on me a little bit there. You're saying Anders Breivik? I was
wondering how long these productions take in order to put them out there. Like movies, like a couple of months, a year, 2 years.
Oh, you're talking about the Anders Breivik production?
Yeah. Yeah, all of them, actually.
It looks like one,
so
doesn't
obvious.
It?
It's, yeah, it does.
Yeah, you look at Anders Breivik.
He slaps his face in the back of the truck, and he just looks
like a simulated
Yeah.
Yep.
Cut and paste.
Hello?
You're breaking up a little, Vidir.
Sorry.
Man, I gotta switch over to my other one. I'm gonna restart, sorry.
Okay. So, is there like, if you would say the one picture, like we you were talking about evidence earlier, you know, that make convinces you of stuff. So the one picture that convinced you that Andrews, dang it.
Andrews.
What picture Anders Breivik would you think is of him is the most like compelling?
Most compelling that he's not real?
Yes.
When he's in his Mason uniform with the white background, then he's in the same white background with his whatever the fuck this is, military regalia. Yeah, he has like iron crosses, several like like a total Nazi decorated officer with a completely white background. You can find,
and isn't
I mean,
that what
if you just
you think they were portraying? They wanted to portray Nazi?
Oh, yeah. But I don't know why they threw the Mason in on it. That's the confusing part of it, you know? Are they trying to make fun of the Masons or something? Or just grab more people into it, you know? Mm-hmm. Almost everything, every picture I see of him is with a white background.
Oh, you know what? I'm going to do a reverse image search. See if I can find the original. So, take the...
There's one of him looking really CGI in a GU fashion. You just look through pictures of this guy and you'll see what I'm talking about. There's a few of him like he's posing for something. It was like a next gen of CGI for GQ magazine.
He's so proud of his little Mason outfit with this cute little teal and white apron.
Yeah.
I think that's a special coat that has special buttons to hold the special apron. It looks like he has a tux. So he's wearing a tux, right? It looks like he has a gold medal around his neck, but there's nothing on the medal. It's just got the ribbon.
You guys have a link?
Yeah, and do you see him facing the same way with the military uniform on?
Yep.
Black?
Okay. Military? Okay, I'll send you the link, Fadir. I guess Ab says if we could put these in the actual chat. He likes that better. So I shall comply. I do whatever Ab says. Alright, it's in... it didn't like that one. It's probably too long. It didn't like it. So I'll put it in this one then. See how long that one is?
Oh, that's a long one.
Instructions are in that one. Is whoever searches this, send it straight to the FBI. That's what that link is for.
You know how they use all the symbols with him, isn't it?
Yep.
A thing to recognize in these sorts of things is that they never look the same. Hard for them to duplicate that same look for a lot of different...
I mean, if you see the picture of him on the back of a Jeep, a black Jeep, it's so fake.
Yeah. It reminded me of the Toy Story character.
Yeah.
Head is off to the side like he's a doll in the backseat.
What the hell is that? I know it was presented as real because I followed this page, but... I don't know if I could find it presented as real in the media now, you know, because it's so stupid. All I'm seeing when I look at those links is random shit, not mainstream sources, you know. Wearing a red sweater with, like, a pink polo underneath or something.
Yeah. In one picture, he's got a beard, and the other picture, he doesn't.
Yep. One picture, he's holding the fist over his heart, and the other, he's putting it out like the communist Guevara shit.
And notice how there's, like, so much really good light on his face. Like, there's no shadowing by the door frame. Like, cut and pasted right in there, like he was sitting out in the sun.
If you want to look into if some of these people are CGI or not, you should look to that Utoya thread on Clues for him and take a good look at this guy.
All right, Duralium, I just did a reverse image search, and so I wouldn't find other backgrounds with the white on it. I only did his chest, so from his shoulder to his shoulder down to his apron to find that exact profile. So I did a reverse, nothing. The only things that come up are him with the white background. And this is what Vidir and I were talking about, is that they give you the picture. It's from them. That's why you can't find any other, like some kid maybe photoshopped it. No, it came from them from the very beginning.
Yeah, it's like an illusion that somebody out there found this raw footage, put things together, and presented it. I think it's them. I think they present package
just as another layer. Like, you know, I was talking to you, Kay, the other night, where they package up those Disney movies where, like, say, for instance, Shrek, it's like, made for little kids. It's made for toddlers, 5-year-olds, 7-year-olds, high school kids, parents, and there's something in it that speaks to everyone. And I think when they put these psyops out there, I think they make them with all the layers considered. They have a package for everyone.
So there's layers of video, meaning you put pictures on top of, but you're not talking about video layers. You're talking about psychological layers.
Psychological layers where, where when they create these, I think that they have their outtakes or whatever they want to call it, the ones that they didn't use, and they create this footage that was never used. Cause you try and find that stuff. We weren't able to, you know, we went to CNN's stock of whatever they had. And of course they only allow you the little 3-minute segments of what they use. They don't have anything else. Who gets this stuff? Where does it come from? Like we wanted, Dell and I wanted to go and find some and make our own. But everything is that's out there is someone that's packaged it up, put their little arrows on, made their little commercial to go over it. Try and find your own.
I have breaking
maybe
news.
That's our challenge.
I have breaking news with a new picture.
Good. Did you find one?
Yep. I got that picture. I just put in the link. I found a real victim from Revit. See that?
Do you have the link for that picture?
Yeah, I'll put it in the chat.
If you could fit in the Fakeologist chat, that would be awesome. Awesome sauce.
Oh. The Fakeologist. Dreamer 3. And now. It's repeating. I'm
right, on the radio, Mom.
This is unicorn lighting. Don't get too excited.
They don't look done. Did you get it put in the chat? Beryllium, the new Andrews, the picture of Andrews Breggin with his Masonic thing on.
It's in the live stream chat. But now I've suddenly started repeating.
Okay.
My headphones. I hear myself.
In case.
Hi, Petir. I think Deryllium's gone off the deep end. What do we do with him?
Oh, because of the unicorn lady? That's brilliant.
You look at it?
Look how nice and pink her skin is.
Oh, you saw it.
Yeah, and it's like she's powdered all up. She looks great. Look at her. There's no... She's in shock, right? She would be white skin, paler than pale. Got more color than the guy beside her.
Well, you found the picture, but repeating myself over.
It's Kay. Tell Kay to turn off her repeater. Turn off her mic.
My mic is off.
Your light lights up when he talks.
Oh.
Turn off.
Settings. It wasn't doing it before, was it? You have your headphones on, Deryllium.
Yep. I haven't changed anything. I just posted this unicorn lady.
Let me go out and come back. See you in a minute.
Now you can talk.
All right.
Yeah. What's it?
Oh. You hear my echo, right?
It must be you, because I have my headset on.
What the hell?
It's quiet in this room.
Quiet in my room, too.
Oh, you know what? My light lights up when you do that again.
What? Laugh?
It lights up, but I don't have anything coming up.
I should probably rejoin.
Oh, now it doesn't.
Nope. Hear me word by word?
Yep. No repeating.
Yep. Kay's fault. Blame it on the Kay.
We'll just let her think it was all her fault.
That's some funny unicorn lady shit, though. Got a little drip of blood going down her face.
You know what? I'm sure if a medical person looked at that, they could tear it apart. But you wonder what the emotions play in when they see it.
Oh God!
That poor lady.
Why don't they? They drive me crazy how people don't expose this shit who are in these
fields.
There's
something that people just can't. They can't step over the path. It's a scary thing. How was it for you when you made it over this far?
It was
I remember being kind of fearful.
Yeah, a little bit. It was kind of gradual for me, probably about 2007 or so. I started one by one. Yeah. It seems like almost all of us take the same path, you know, loose change or whatever. People yeah. go yeah. through it through 9/11.
I think it's all part of their plan as far as who gets where and how far they get. And I yep. think we're just the odd ducks that have made it through the net. They don't know what to do with us.
Mm-hmm.
We were supposed to go back to, we were probably supposed to go back to Alex Jones or something. I don't know, but make
oh,
that
yeah.
there.
That's a huge trap right there. But ultimately, what does it all end up in, you know?
Just, I like my little space in life right now.
Exactly. I like to know the truth and try to figure it out, but what the fuck am I going to do when millions of people are not even close to where I am?
I think what we should do is just be, like, live as a good example. I think that's all you can do, and if people want to find their way to find the peace that we have, then they will. But, you know, like I said, it's a definitely journey. A lot of emotions, and like I said, some people can't handle it.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, it was all your fault.
Is this still my fault again?
No.
Get off my channel.
Get out of here.
I was still repeating after you left a little bit, but stopped.
Then, yeah.
Still your fault.
How's it? It's not better now, the repeating slightly?
No, it's better.
Yes, yeah, fine.
You mean it's better, it's all the way better, or just a little better?
I think it's all the way better.
Darylium, what's your take?
I think you're the unicorn lady.
You see the unicorn lady?
Here. I thought I told you not tell anybody.
Poor thing.
No.
Probably got put back in the drawer.
I think another fake vamp. Because I think what you were saying, like the Anders Breivik, and they have all the head wounds. Even
yep.
if it was a faked event, they would still have just the head wounds, because why make a wound on a leg? You know, if you're no one can see it. So there's this nightclub, I think it was in New York. Have you heard of this one? Any of you? The night, it was a Jewish, like, wedding. Not a nightclub, a Jewish wedding. And the floors, no, it wasn't that. Oh, it was, okay. Jewish wedding, floors collapsed, everyone is walking around with head wounds. I'm like, what? How'd y'all get head wounds? Floor collapsed. You know, and so nothing else, no arms, no legs, just head wounds. And it's like, what are you doing? It's like, floor is collapsing on your head and you're just standing there. No one's throwing up their arms to go, oh my God. I mean, really, they should have arm wounds.
Yeah.
If I knew debris was falling, I'd throw my hands up, protect my noggin.
Exactly.
Well, the ultimate example of leg wounds is Boston, right? Oh my God.
They just had to catch up. There were too many head wounds per leg wound, so that was just to even the score.
Yeah. Boston had tons of leg wounds, didn't you see? No other wounds.
We were looking at
everybody lost their fucking leg. What do you think about the tiny dancer who was crying about the fireworks in the bay? Boston chick, have you seen that video?
No, I haven't seen it. You
oh
want to post
God.
It?
God. I think she may not even be real myself.
It wouldn't make sense to me for her to be real at all. So it won't surprise me. I've crossed over into this weird paradigm.
Yeah. Her and her boyfriend or husband or whatever were just, they totally filmed this thing saying, stop shooting off fireworks in the bay. Don't you know what happened to us in Boston? We're talking about the Boston Marathon where she supposedly lost her leg, you know? She's crying a year later saying for people to stop shooting off fireworks in the bay that she's tripping. It's just
ridiculous. Oh, I think I remember something about her.
Bullshit.
She was getting married and they were taking, it was, yeah, a year later. Was that the one that was getting married, or is it a different one?
I think there's a few of them that have gotten married. Even the Hulk guy, the bald-headed Hulk guy with the shredded pants and no wounds obvious.
Yeah.
He was put up on the media as getting married, but this is just one of the most notorious ones who supposedly lost her leg. She was a dancer. And you can go back and look at her pictures and...
Well, I do know that there are real ones because I do know someone that knows one of the victims.
Well,
they don't know him.
Did she?
No, she met him.
Oh,
came to her house. Came to her house twice.
I keep forgetting that. He went to her house.
He went to her house twice. He was the plumbing executive and met her. He was a friend of her friend or her sister. I don't know who it was. He was having a party at her house and he came to her house twice. So he met her. So I think what they do is they have, you know, a few of the real ones. They parade them around, take them to parties. But she is actually in the photo where they took the photo saying, get well. And I called her up and I said, how did that happen? How did you get in this photo? And she said, they just called us up and asked us if we wanted to get together and do a get well photo for him. She said they went out to Redondo Beach and she said it was freezing as all hell and they sat down and they did the photo. So there is that element of all the real people that they get involved that have no clue.
I like that Redondo Beach, big open area, no commitment. Yeah. You can't find out who rented the place. That's perfect.
It was just, yeah.
And the poster was there already because she just did, or did she help make that big giant poster that said get well?
I think they must have made it because I don't think any of those people really knew, you know, they might have been friends of friends. Because it's like he came to her house twice. Why would she be in that photo? You know, why wouldn't they call his close friends and family? That's the whole.
Right. Maybe they're there.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting to look. Go online to see his pics of his family, see if they were there.
I don't think so. I think they were out supposedly with him, right?
Yeah, well, this one, she was caught posting. I think she spoke German initially and just caught posting, you know, support and stuff for people who had lost their limb before the bombing actually happened. I think it was her name, Aslan or something. But she had posted on, you know, people who had lost limbs on their support forums before the Boston bombing actually happened and she lost her own limb. So how the hell would someone who hasn't lost her limb post support on a forum like that? But it's just so ridiculous, if you know what I'm talking about with this shit, with her and her boyfriend talking about setting off fireworks in the bay, please stop it, don't you know what happened to us? That's ridiculous.
Oh, she's taking post-traumatic stress something?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it a new direction they want to take with fireworks, maybe?
I can't handle loud bombing because I was in a bombing.
Oh, it's terrible, man. You have to see it. I can't believe you two haven't seen it knowing what you know. But I'm sure PK22 has it.
You should look. Hey, Vadir, is the duralium kind of low in his voice? Or is that just me?
It's probably just you. He sounds fine to me.
Okay, good. Good, good. I want him to... This is interesting stuff.
I'll move closer a little bit. I'll move closer to the moment.
I think that we spent a whole lot of time looking really closely at all this crap. No, it wasn't until we had that conversation about how I had mentioned to Ab way back how I had thought that they were using actors and if I were to do it, I would just, you know, CGI the face over so that the people wouldn't be known when they walked out of the building. So I just had this vision of them doing like CGI over the face. And the more we looked into it, like they CGI everything and they don't even have people for the most part, except for the models that they run through those, the multiple cameras at every angle. They can change the lighting and they have them walking. And I really don't think that they, once they have the model, I don't think they need anything after that.
Yeah, I agree. They can do it. I mean, Benjamin mm-hmm. Button, they made Brad Pitt go forward and back through time, you know.
But I was surprised at how little it took for that Robbie Parker thing, where, you know, going through freezing the frames, you only saw this one portion of his face that actually was wrinkling when he was talking. But I remember when I first saw it, I thought, man, that guy looks like he's had plastic surgery or something. Face doesn't look right. But I never once thought he wasn't real.
Oh, so, I didn't either. I didn't consider that idea, but that was interesting to look at, really.
Yeah, it was just that one little piece of his face was the only place that was alive on him.
Maybe.
Can you hear that?
What's that?
That.
Can you hear that through my headphones?
No.
You want to play the video, a video or something?
I'm glad you can't hear that. I'm going to post it.
Okay.
But maybe that's a challenge for all of us. When we see a hoax video or a video we know to be a hoax or altered or something, consider, could it be, don't just, but consider possibility. Maybe, perhaps, could that be CGI? Could it be? Because it explains a lot of weird stuff that happens in videos if it's CGI.
Yeah.
I'm not saying everyone is, so stop saying everything's fake. No, nobody says that.
Who knows, man?
That's our nightmare, right? One day you realize none of that shit ever happened.
Oh, when they reach the singularity of fakery that we try to expose, and we can't expose it anymore.
Well, we know it's not real, right? You know that it's not real.
Yeah, I don't think there's going to be a singularity, though, because some stuff is real.
But the psyops, do you think any element of them are real, that people really died, or do you really feel that way?
No.
I don't think so.
But
can you play this last song?
So understanding that they put these out there, and they put them out there with the idea that we're seeing the fakery, but if you could design your own psyop, why wouldn't you use the technology? I think it would make it easier to get the job done if you wanted to plan. I just, the whole psychology and connecting all the pieces is rather interesting.
Yeah, the hard part is that we're not going to be able to really tell or point it out to people anymore.
Oh, I think we're past that point, because it's like, you know that you can't bring them to where we're at. They have to do probably like the equivalent of at least an associate's degree to get to where we're at, you know, to understand what's going on. So, you know, you can just light a fire by asking a couple questions, but I think that's all you can really do.
What degrees do we have if they have
a degree in fakeology?
Is it a 4-year or 2-year?
I feel like it's a 4-year. I feel like I'm on a master's yeah. program right now.
I'm a doctorate. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I just, when they start talking about this stuff at work, I just look like I never watch television. But tell me the story, you know, or I feel inclined. I don't really follow it, so. And then that way I don't feel the need to correct them or to say, oh, that's fake, or just listen intently and think, okay, well, it could be real. Every time I look, it's not, but.
I still always feel the need to help the people out if I can tell them.
But when you think about it, do you really want to make them alone and on this side of the fence? Like, we can handle it. I can handle it.
Misery
and I'm okay with it.
Misery loves company, right?
I don't feel miserable. I feel happier. I feel lighter.
Yeah, I'm fine with it, but.
But I don't think some other people, they couldn't handle it. They need to be with that herd, that connection. And not all people are made like us, so.
I think you're right about that. Certain mentality and.
Yeah, rigid schedule keepers, I think, are. Not saying all of them, but I think I sometimes wonder how Ab actually got on this side of the fence, but there's a lot of more artistic, more higher level thinker, not process driven, definitely not process driven people on this side of the fence.
What's your sign?
My sign?
Yeah.
What's yours?
I just turned 33.
Oh, man.
May 20th.
Wow.
Yep.
You're old now.
Taurus.
You're a Taurus? Hey, yep. What are you, Kay?
The BRB.
She's a BRB?
The Taurus in me just came up with a quick thing to explain why she is a BRB, but I ain't gonna say it.
Why?
I'm just joking. BRB. What'd you say the BRB means?
I would say that's like, be right back, Jax, in the bathroom. That's code word for bathroom.
Yeah, what a creative name for BRB.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what month were you born?
I was born on the cusp of something. I work. I work with a guy that was born at the very same time I was. Isn't that bizarre?
The exact second?
Yeah, I was born
September.
Yeah, that's it.
I knew it. That's the way you.
I was born in Canada, and he was born in the UK. And it was the very same time, like 8 hours different. Day ahead, 8 hours different.
How can I make this video play?
Where?
Right above BRB Jax. I just want you to hear this ridiculous bullshit. I can't believe you haven't heard this.
You want me to play it?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Oh my god, that's so fake. Let me repeat that.
I can hear it a little bit.
Fireworks.
Yep. Lit fireworks over the harbor, and all of a sudden, heard explosions. I thought we were going to die.
Adrian Haslett Davis equal liar.
Why don't they keep the camera straight? Why is it all shaking and their faces are out of the
way? It's terrible.
Like a formula. They aren't even real.
Oh, man. It's hard to know. But their plot certainly wasn't real.
Why don't they put some earplugs in? They put earplugs in. They're hurting my ears.
She sneaks a look at the camera a lot.
They do
like,
look odd, too. Look at her. She's got no wrinkles moving on her face, either.
Oh, she's always looked odd to me.
And she's got fake teeth on
I
the front, too.
I wonder about her, man.
Big, too. True. I'd like to get a bumper sticker that says...
Boston Strong.
My dog is just tap dancing.
You gonna get a bumper sticker that says your dog is tap dancing?
That, too. It's funny, I just don't feel inclined to watch a lot of television anymore. I'll watch a movie here or there, but they're definitely relationship-related, not over-the-top sensationalism. I find that my tolerance for that has really gone down. I don't know if it's age. I don't know.
Watching television.
When you're not used to it. My kids never really watched it. You know, they look up things on the internet and they do that. They don't. And has a TV in his room, and he never watches it. He doesn't even use it for his... I put it with his computer because I thought, well, it's a TV, and it's not getting used. I'll just make it a monitor. He never turns that computer, like a little MK-808 in the living room, and they just watch the odd thing here and there.
I mostly just use mine as, like, background noise while I watch my... YouTube videos or whatever, and
you listen to the radio in the car very often.
Oh my god, car radio drives me crazy. I cuss.
It does that to me now, and I used to love listening to the radio in the car. And I sometimes I stop and think, wow, you know, I don't even listen to the. I drove with my mother, drove her home to Canada, 3 days in a car, and we didn't turn on the radio at all. Talk.
That's good. Y'all were being real and talking. But no, what drives me crazy is the fucking commercials. I swear it's every 3 minutes.
And then the PSYOP things they put in the middle of the songs in the morning. Like just a little 30-second blip of what's going on with your neighborhood PSYOP. It's really annoying.
On Sports Talk, they'll start talking about the scores or whatever, and they'll just throw in an advertisement right in the middle of what they're saying. And then they'll go to an advertisement after they did that. It's so crazy.
Yeah, I just find, and it's not like I just never think to turn it on now.
Good. But they don't have nothing to tell you. You're so far beyond what they're going to say. No, the funny part is listening to people who talk about politics or whatever on local radio.
Or just the people that you work with. The people that you work with.
Yeah. But if you just happen to... instead of listening to music or whatever, you just listen to the local political people. As soon as you hear them start talking, like, oh, my God, what the fuck?
I had a friend that I work with. She used to work in the CIA. I'm back to them. But I remember when we used to talk about the left-right paradigm where we talk about conservatives. And I can usually feel the energy from people, but I could never figure out what side of the fence she was on, and she just always seemed to hang back and never really get involved. And it's like, I see myself doing that now. Like, I'd never been one way or the other, and it's not my, I don't have a dog in the race, so to speak.
Maybe she was ahead of you way back then, man.
Oh, she was, I'm sure. She knew it was all a game back then. But, yeah, find it interesting.
It's just, it's ridiculous to listen to conservative talk radio, like local shit.
It just inflames people. It gets them so mad. It's like a, you know, I see one that's like really ultra-conservative, and then I've got others that are like ultra-liberal, and you could just see that they come in. One is just so angry at the other, and the other can't figure the other one out. It's just really something.
First, I better realize that it's all based on bullshit.
It is. It's just to inflame people and to... You wonder what it is and why that has so much value to them. Like, what would happen if we all didn't pay attention? We all really connected with each other and we all really didn't have all of that anxiety. And I wonder, maybe there's something more. I don't know.
Then you'd be a fakeologist, sweetheart.
I guess. I guess.
Step up to your phone, sweetie.
Yeah. Well, I just know that as a fakeologist, I talk a lot more than I ever did. Or I used to remember, like, why don't I get more involved? Or why don't I sing? Why don't I do all these things? And I never did until I just, now it's like I can't stop talking to.
I want to hear your testimony, Vadir.
Mine?
And I want to hear Kemod clear. Kemod. Kemod. I'm going to call you K-Mod.
Off in her kitchen.
Okay. K-Mod.
This is what it's like for us. We'll be doing family stuff. we haven't had the vacuums going at the same time. But at the okay. same time.
K-Mod sounds distant to me.
Oh, my mic's up. I'm sorry.
There you go.
There you go. I'm out of it.
How are the cookies?
You know, I doubled the recipe but didn't double the eggs.
Don't you hate when that happens?
So I cooked two dozen. I burned the third dozen because I'm talking to you all. And then I put eggs in the rest, so now I'm going to cook those.
Now they're over-egged.
They are. But you know what? I used non-wheat flour for half of it, and that crap is dry. So I think it needs the eggs.
Yeah, go ahead and tell them my cookies are burning.
That's code. Really want to know what she said?
What? Where are we at? All right. So I
talking
a
about peace and serenity. Peace and serenity and baking cookies.
There you go. It's nice. And you know what? When I bake cookies, my boys come up to the kitchen and look at me. Baking cookies. So
funny you say come up to the kitchen because you've got a basement, right?
Yeah. So it's nice. It's kind of like my secret little plan there. Trap them into a conversation. Do you have any kids, Sterilium? Or wife, or if you don't mind, if that's a secret, that's okay.
Left away.
Oh, okay. I don't know. Should we say how many kids we have on live air, or is that a secret?
Got lots.
Maybe we won't. I'm just thinking now. No. But my kids all pretty much believe in fakery. What about yours? In some aspects of it. Some. Not all like me. I'm hardcore, man. But I've done the research, so I can't.
I think my kids are like yours. They come to me as the specialist when they sense some fakery. They think I'm hardcore.
Yeah, mama's hardcore. Yeah. My kids say, yeah, there's no other mama like you.
There is. They just haven't met her.
In California.
I don't think I've met my match for looking at things. Like, and we're not even on drugs. That's what's so bizarre. Or at least we say we're not.
Speak for yourself, Adair.
Okay. Do mine, you do yours.
I'm back. That's fine.
Do you talk to family members about fakery? You were saying earlier that you did, or talk to people in general.
I've talked to my sister some about it, but they're so fucking lost. My parents are kind of older, so I don't want to try to
scare them out of their fear bubble.
Yeah.
It upsets them something fierce. The thing is, if you're going to take somebody's paradigm away, you got to be there to replace it. I think there's a responsibility. I'm going to say it now. You wake someone up, you're responsible for them.
And I don't want to be responsible for that. You know what I'm dealing with I have a coworker that he's a little bit further behind than where I am. And it's like you see yourself in that other person and all the changes they go through and trying to figure things out. And I just, know if I want to be responsible for someone's awakening.
Yeah, I told my sister. She asked me about the Illuminati or whatever because she went to the movie with her kids on and watched SpongeBob SquarePants and happened to start researching a little bit of it. That's the first time I really talked to them was a few months ago. She asked me about it, and I was like, I can tell you all about any of that shit, you know? But they don't have the time for it, man. She's a single mom now.
Her hamster wheel, and she's running.
Yeah, exactly. That's what happens to a lot of people.
What'd you say when she says, what's this Illuminati?
What did I tell her? I told her that that's just been going on for a long fucking time, and I can tell you a lot more about it, you know, but you're not going to understand it.
Yeah, and do you know what I usually tell people? I usually simplify it, and I say, because a lot of people can understand the money aspect, and then they can wrap their heads around, like, corporations spending money to influence people. You know, so we use that term. People can understand that there are people that want to manipulate others for the money.
Yeah, for sure. But if you
make it like a very simple, with not the details, and just let them know that, you know, people put those stories out there to influence people one way or the other, not to say they're true.
She ran into the Hollywood paradigm of the Illuminati, you know. She's thinking Jay-Z, Beyonce, and all that bullshit. And I was like, no. But
I you know what? I really like Lennon Honor's explanation. He makes it very simple, and it's easy to listen to as far as understanding the fear and how they're packaging the fear. And if you just realize that they gain more by making you fearful.
Did you ever see the Lennon Honor audio? Well, he does videos and audios. Have you ever seen any of those, Deryllium?
Oh, yeah. I heard him. I heard the Ab interview and Chris's, but I haven't really watched his videos, but
I think
it's kind of common sense to me. All yeah. that shit now is
he stays away from all the scary stuff, and he makes little of that because that's what scares people. He just tries to stick to the very simple methods like that are used on us in order to make us not think with intellect.
Yeah, I like him.
But I think sometimes if you point someone in a direction, he might be a good source just because he's non-threatening, I think, and he doesn't make them have to, you know, step away from their paradigm, or, you know, they can still hold on to whatever it is for a while until they can accept other things if they so choose.
Did you, Deryllium, ever see Lennon Honor's early videos about subliminal messaging?
No, I probably haven't.
They're pretty good. He does a Beyonce music video, and he's done a couple other things. It brought him a lot of heat from the music industry, but maybe he's on the right track then, I'm thinking.
I think he makes a lot of sense, and I think I was listening to on that, I think that one Chris interview where he was talking about the Shades of Grey. I have the movie, I haven't watched it. But I was thinking
50 Shades of Grey.
Yeah, and how he says that's like,
sorry.
This whole thing is giving away power. When you give into the fear, you give away your power to think it intellectually. So, you know, to look at that and you see the example of this woman basically giving away her power, like it really doesn't lend itself to, you know, the balance of, because we're like monkey see, monkey do, right? That's who we are. I just tend to agree with him and his philosophy.
Yes, it's hard to see your family is so far lost in it, you know.
You know, my mother loves them. This stuff. She loves watching the news and knowing what's going on and talking politics. And I just let her talk. You know, you just got to love your family and go with it because this is her world. This is what she lives in. And who am I to, you know, burst her fear bubble? And she's a strong lady.
Just my sister asked me about this. Her husband left her for a female bodybuilder. My dad had to have triple bypass and been some tough shit, you know.
Wow.
Poor thing. So you're going to be like, yeah, and guess what? The world sucks even more than you thought.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just going to send you down even further.
I'm going to go ahead and shut up about all this, you know.
Poor thing.
You just have to be there for them. And, you know, there are so many things you can talk to these people, your family. You can talk about so many things in life. Like all of this crap that we're focused on right now, this is not real. And it's not, it is real for them, but we can always draw them into real conversation about what's happening in our world, like whether it's our kids, whether it's how our day's going, whether we like this particular thing or that particular thing. Like, I think learning how to steer the conversation away from all that crap is probably a lot better. And, you know, they might feel more relieved and comforted that they don't have to live in that corner for too long, you know, and come and visit you in your peaceful side of the world, so to speak, or peaceful corner.
Right. I think you're right. That's the fear is not, that fear is not real. There's nothing to be afraid of, but they don't know that. It's like,
and it makes you crazy.
Yeah.
Hey, listen to this. At the hospital while my dad was having bypass surgery, I was talking to my older sister, not the one who was screwed over. I was like, you only see one side of the moon, period. She didn't believe me. She was completely arguing with me that she's seen both sides of the moon.
And did she say, why do they say the dark side of the moon? She thinks when it's just, and I, you know, it does rotate supposedly, but we only see that face, you know?
Yeah, exactly. That's what was so funny to me. And then she was like, oh my God, you're right. My mind's blown.
Really?
And,
yeah. She finally just like admitted to it.
Yeah.
I remember when I woke up on that, I thought.
Too later.
But there are a lot of things.
That's so funny.
It does open your mind in the way that you think, wow, I never even questioned that. I never even thought of that. And it probably does open your mind for more questioning of other things that you never thought of.
That is an amazing coincidence. I mean, if the thing is spinning and we only see one side of it, what the fuck? It's perfectly synchronized, you know?
But it could be that something on one side, you know, going with that theory, because we really don't know, there could be something heavy on that side of the planet that always keeps its face to us, you know, as it rotates around.
Yeah, that's the explanation for it.
You know, something.
But she had no idea that she had only seen one side of the moon.
Yeah.
Is that normal for moons? Did anyone ever, I bet Clue Moore knows.
You know everything over there.
I realized. Ask them first. So what else did you and your sister talk in the hospital room? I mean, the hospital. Hey, Sammy! Hi,
not
Sammy.
Not much more.
Getting himself set up.
You got into more conspiracy stuff.
Sammy!
Me.
Hey, Sammy.
Not much more. But they're both about 8 and 10 years older than me, so we weren't ever really that close, you know, to talk about things.
They may look to you as an authority now that you open their eyes out up about that, so you never know.
Yeah, my sister's about 40 and 42, I think, and I'm 33, so they're...
You're 33?
I'm 33.
Number.
Hey, 20th, I just turned 33, you're in trouble.
Congratulations. You're now
Thank
a
you.
Hoax.
I was looking forward to this. I didn't think I would make this this many days until my 33rd birthday.
How many days is it? Wait a minute.
4 days.
4. Oh, okay. Oh, you just turned. Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. It's nice.
I may be using a psyop, but trust me, I didn't die. Didn't get hurt.
Right? I'm fine. I'm not sick. I don't feel like I need to kill. Everything's fine. That's your insurance. You said that publicly.
Yep. Thought I was going to join the 27 club, but after I passed that one, I was sure it was 33.
What's the next one?
Oh, I don't think there is one. 27 clubs, all the artists and stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah.
33 is all the fake bullshit.
33 club. 21. I don't know. That's not... Yeah, the 20... That's weird. All of them? How many are there? Did anyone ever count them up?
I don't know, but I can tell you that 33 people allegedly died at the Virginia Tech shooting.
Oh, no.
So that's a good one.
What is that website? Yeah, what is that website where it says at least 30? No, there's a website, a 33 club or something.
Oh, man. I was trying to think of that recently. 33 News or something like that. You know, the Chilean miners, there were 33 of them stuck in a cave for 69 days.
Oh, no. My high school
Shooters, exactly. No.
They still giggle when I say 69. The whole class giggles. All right, so the answer to number 4 is 69. And you know what? I guarantee there's a psychological thing there. What they're saying is
woven together.
Yeah, that's a sex number. They're trying to remind everyone these guys are down there doing it with each other. Come on. Go to your inner feelings. You're going to agree with me.
I thought that would have been sixes would be like that.
Well, they've been trained for some reason to think.
Like the Pisces thing?
69 means sex. You know, I don't know. They all remember it. Everybody knows it.
Don't pretend y'all don't know what 69 is.
They don't know. So the guy, they all off himself, right?
Oh, sorry. You know, here we were thinking that Sammy was just really quiet, but has no talk access. I'll leave it to him right now. Sorry about that, Sammy.
Thank you.
I thought you were really quiet tonight.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Sammy.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in on the 33 thing. A lot of times you'll see, like, derivatives of it or multiplications, you know, so you'll see 66 a lot or 99. Like in Columbine, they said there were 99 explosive devices.
Yep.
Oh, look at this. At least 4 hours ago, at least 33 were dead in a bus crash. You'd think that they would count.
At least.
They'd be able to count. They would be able to count how many people in a bus. You have to say at least 33 dead in a bus crash in Egypt.
Yeah, and you would think that people would start to catch on to these numbers.
We're asleep, you know. You're busy in your little hamster wheel. You don't have time for that crap.
I mean, but it's always like they make a point to say, you know, like it was 11 miles away or 11 minutes before this happened. And it's just like strange that you would pinpoint an exact number of minutes versus like rounding it to 10 or 15.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Who does that?
Yeah. I mean, like this, like there's that.
Look at it. There's an estimated 33 million Americans on the road for Memorial Day.
33 is a magic number.
Yeah. Like in Columbine, when they caught them on the camera, supposedly they were in the cafeteria. Like, if you go to the Wikipedia page, it'll show, like, a picture of the two of them, supposedly from the security camera, and it actually says that, you know, they were caught on camera 11 minutes before they committed suicide.
11. Have you guys seen that Columbine footage? It's like an hour and a half long, damn it. It's long, maybe 3 hours. I forget how long, but they were in there shooting stuff up. It was like 1 o'clock in the morning and then it's like 2:30. I'm like, why am I still watching this black and white Columbine?
Wasted that much time in your life on that crowd.
The dear, you have no idea how much research some of us have done.
Oh my gosh. I live in Colorado and I know people that are like, well, Columbine was real. Even people who are like skeptics. They're like, no, Columbine was definitely real because that was way before Homeland Security and, you know, we knew people who knew people and no.
Isn't that something how they defend that it was real? There's this emotional thing that you're not going to take this away from me because it was real.
Yeah. And, like,
and what do they have in it?
Well, they rely on it for comfort. So, like, they remember when it happened. And so there's that trauma there. And it's been so many years that trauma, they haven't healed from that trauma, like whatever, if it's psychological or emotional, you know, happened in the community or whatever. And so over time, they become like that event, the trauma from that event becomes like comforting. You know, it's like when you're sad for when you lose someone, when they pass away, you become accustomed to that pain. So you kind of identify with it. So
it's
you
part
almost,
of
you. Yeah, it becomes part of you. You rely on it for comfort.
Okay, and that's sad. It is. You see that your brain makes habits. So I found the Columbine cafeteria raw footage. It's 3 hours and 33 minutes long. Swear to God.
3 hours?
Yeah. I watched, I knows.
I know it was three because I'm like, dang it. Get your ass to bed. And all they are doing is just running back and forth across the cafeteria. Now, how the hell's that happen? Where's the cop? I mean, it's just bizarre. You see flashes going off, kids running. They got duffel bags full of stuff. It's like, how did you – I work in a high school. There's no way a kid could smuggle that duffel bag up into the school. There's no possible way. There you go. I'm done with my rant. So take.
I wonder if that, when they do that, if that's considered post-traumatic stress disorder when they do.
And I guarantee you the people
grab hold of it and say, no, that was real. It has to, it was real. And you're not going to take this away from me because I want it to be real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I knew this girl who claimed that she grew up in Newtown, Connecticut. And she was claiming like, oh, they're real people. And how dare you,
my friends
have respect for the victims' families. And so eventually the person just got so fed up with anyone like questioning it that they just like unfriended and cut off all contact with people. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that my friend who's waking up right now is, friend to absolutely no one. Sandy Hook, and it's a very small community. They worked at the hospital, and they were there at the hospital that night. Nothing, never saw anything. They never questioned it either. You know, they thought, no, I don't know anyone that was in it. They wasn't enough for them to say, wow, isn't that strange? They asked them, and they knew nobody.
Right, and even if you did know someone, you don't know, that person may have moved into the city with their family, just a few
years
before.
Yeah,
for that specific purpose, like that was their assignment.
We just talked about one of those people for the Boston bombing that a friend of mine knows. But of course, they showed up at her house for like a party, like a dinner party. And she met them twice and they came with a friend of hers. And strangely enough, she was called to participate in a get well photo for him, which was kind of strange because she really didn't know him. He was just brought to her house twice. But like I was saying, you'd think that they would have been close friends and family that would have done that. But they called all these people, photo for the guy. So yeah, there is that layer of real people.
Yeah. I've been kind of taking a little bit of a break from fakeology research just because I'm studying for an exam and have a lot of other stuff going on, but I've been observing people online. It's just fascinating to me, like just to observe people's behaviors and the way that they process information. And, people just love stories, I find. They love to be wowed by fantastic
drama
articles or stories about something fantastical, and they just assume that it's real. There was this thing floating around yesterday about this guy who supposedly was living in a secret chamber in some family's house in the basement for 20 years. And he was this university professor that went missing in the 80s, like in 1984.
Wow.
And he went missing and no one ever knew what happened to him. And I'm sure that when they first ran that story in 1984, that was like the setup of the hoax. And then they were going to, I didn't really look too deep into it, but as soon as I saw it, they said, oh, he had 50 years of military rationed food, like supplies. And right away, all these alarm bells went off. So there's no way you would be able to survive. There's no way you'd be able to survive more than a few weeks. Where did he get his water?
Vitamin D.
Yeah, and where did he get, when it was cold in the winter, like, how did he have heat and manage to stay healthy and not get sick and bacteria and all kinds of, there's just so many red flags. And then I did a little researching and sure enough, it was a hoax. But it was one of those, stories that are put out there
Just to make sure that the masses are sleeping.
Yeah, and then they admit, oh, it's a hoax, it's not a real story. But just to see, people's reactions, oh my God, could you imagine? I can't believe it. And it's just, this whole discussion sparks off of something that didn't even happen.
That really happened in America. Amanda Berry, Night and to Jesus. You know that story?
No, tell us about the story.
They were supposedly locked in the basement.
Was it in Cleveland?
Yeah.
Yeah, that story was BS.
It was funny. I really like though that one guy, he was the homeless guy on the street corner or something.
Yeah.
And he was such an, he was the star of the show.
Oh yeah, and then they had, I'm sure they showed him like with his McDonald's, like McDonald's was sponsoring it.
Right.
But they showed up and talked, man, so that really happened.
Okay.
but it's interesting. It's interesting just to like witness how people process information, like what they take at face value. So somebody will read an article online, you know, and they think it's a legitimate news source. And rather than start it from a neutral position where you say, okay, well, show me the evidence that this is real, like they start from it's real and now you have to prove to me that it's not, which is just so illogical.
But then when you think of it, if they do that, then they are with us, the tinfoil hat people, and they don't want to step outside the herd and be like that. And their paradigm tells them that this is such an interwoven kind of society that somebody's checking on everything all the time, so they would know.
Yeah, there's checks and balances. That's what my dad used to always tell me. No, Sammy, there's checks and balances. You know, that's the way the system's designed. There's checks and balances. So if there is corruption or some shady things going on, that's why we have these checks and balances in place. I'm like, okay, well, you know, you can believe that those checks and balances are really working if you want to.
It would be a lot for them to separate from. It was a lot for us to do that, to separate from that world where somebody would have said something. You know, they have
think,
to.
Don't you still think? It still goes through my mind. I'm not done with that thought yet. Are you guys completely giving up on that? I just go, but that group knows and that group knows.
But said something where?
I mean, at this point, if someone came to me and said, hey, we want you to, you know, be an eyewitness to a, you know, a train crash. We just want to get a quote for you from the paper. You know, we'll give you $75,000 if you just give us a couple quotes. I'd be like, sure, why not?
Yeah, because everything's a lie. Why wouldn't you just add to the bucket of lies?
But even for people who are like us, who might say, you know, who might kind of have like a moral dilemma about it, because we know what the world is. I mean, I would say, yeah, sure, I'll take the money.
I don't think that I don't know if I'm like a truth, I'm not waving a flag saying tell the truth. I'm trying to understand why they do what they do, and I want to see more of the picture. I want to see more of the magic trick. So I'm not out to, because sometimes people have said to me, well, we're going to take them on and whatever. And I'm thinking, I don't know enough about this. I feel like they're the bad guys, and maybe they're the better of the bad guys. I don't know that. I don't know.
Well, I think
maybe it would be bad for us not to have all this fear. Maybe all of us are just going to kind of wither away. I don't know. But,
well, there is a danger of being like too apathetic, you know?
Yeah, you have to. Yeah. You have to be present in your life, and you have to deal with the things in your life. I'm not saying that I'm apathetic that way. I'm interested in the trick. I'm interested in how they do what they do, and why they do what they do. But
the how is we kind of like piece it together as we move forward in the research, just like understanding the templates and like things like the numbers and the way that they bring eyewitnesses or use actors or whatever. So we kind of like slowly put the puzzle together in terms of like the how it's done, how the magic trick is done. But then when it comes to the why, it's more like, I feel like there's different layers of why, and one of them is just mind control, and controls people's thoughts and form their opinions based on fear.
Maybe there have been. Maybe there are different levels of intelligence in different types of people, and maybe these people that are hidden behind or are our controllers, maybe they've had generations and generations of being, you know, sheep herders or people herders or whatever. So who knows what? Yeah, it's just there's so many things to wrap your mind around. And it's not that I'm apathetic. It's like I've got so many things in my life that I have to concern myself with, my family, volunteer work, my house, my, you know, my world. So,
well, that's what you should be doing. They want you to be lost in their articles.
Right.
And
I don't, we don't plug in. So, you know, and there's a danger with that too. I guess we do have to find a balance, but where do you find the real news?
But is there really a danger? Because, you know, there's an activist in all of us. You know, we want to help those who are less fortunate, and we're sensitive, and we're sensitive to injustices, and we don't like what we see going on in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you know, that's how you get sucked into it. Like, I know some activists who run nonprofits and stuff, and they're so full of fear. And you can see just by, like, their online presence, they're always posting an article about an injustice somewhere, or an environmental issue, or, you know, drilling in the Arctic, or any number of issues. And, you know, I've even seen people say things like, there's so many things to worry about. You know, like, that's a quote from someone.
I think that if we got busy in our lives, and the thing that really motivates me and makes me feel good and makes me feel like I'm connected is actually being of service to others.
Me too.
And, you know, that's a huge thing. So I think that to take control of your life and to take things is to actually go out and whatever it is, whether it's, you know, like sweeping your neighbor's step, or, I don't know, helping someone with getting their groceries in the week, or whatever. I think that that's what the key to a good life is.
I think so too, and I think you made a really good point by saying that. I think the problem is that most people get wrapped up in the macro. They want to save the whole world,
right?
And help their neighbor,
right.
and then like, you know, the people who control this world, they feed off of that. So they say,
right.
Okay, there's all these humans with beautiful hearts. So let's let's use their hearts to our advantage. And let's hijack
their
minds.
Powerless. Yeah, they'll feel powerless once we connect them to the big machine. They'll be paralyzed. You think of how many people are so disconnected, don't know their neighbors,
don't know what to do
with their life. And
rather than connect with their neighbors or go volunteer at the hospital or something like that, they're lost in these larger issues. And they're online, and they're watching TV, and they're worried about the oil spill, and they're worried about climate change.
Things that they have no control over.
Yeah, and things that are probably not even real.
Because
most people are clueless and worthless, pretty much.
That's so sad. It's really sad.
Yeah, and people, you know, the more I observe people and how they process information, it's always, you know, it always has to do with some grand story. You know, whether it's thousands of people who claim to be abducted by aliens, or this person who surfed down 80 floors of the World Trade Center and lived to tell about it, you know, or some scientist who has some grand theory about the Big Bang and the universe, or even like a celebrity somebody who gives a TED Talk who's it's entertainment. It's just this story. People love stories. They love to be charmed and amazed by something fantastical.
Right, and it's probably addictive, or it's the dopamine going or something.
That's how they get them, because they say, you know, they put a person of authority in a position to where that person, you know, has a voice. Whether it's somebody in the business community or a scientific community.
Right.
And then that person says, hey, here's this problem, and we all need to unite and do something about it. And so rather than say, you know, people immediately go to the emotion and the heart, and they say, oh my gosh, we have to do something. There's this bad thing out there, and we got to come together and do something. But nobody really bases any of their conclusions or their opinions on scientific evidence, or, you know, evidence-based observations, research is, you know, research and experiments, in terms of like what they observe around them.
Right.
So they just take the story
and there's no formula to actually work the story or do anything with the story. So they're
right. So
helpless.
they assume the story is true. So if a scientist one day comes and says, we found a unicorn, and it's a real, unicorns are real. We found one, you know? then the people would be like, oh, they would just immediately believe it because the scientists said so, and then the news reported it. It's real, you know.
Somebody would have said something if it wasn't.
Right. And then if you say, well, show me a photo of this unicorn, then they produce a photo. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe it's real. Look, there's a photo of it. So it's like, there's no actual evidence, because even the photo is just, because you see a photo of something, does it completely override all logic and common sense?
Well, ask me about it before I saw Robbie Parker or after.
Like if you went on vacation and there was a really bad car accident in front of your house, and then you came home and your neighbor told you about it, and your neighbor said, "Look, I took a few pictures," and then your neighbor showed you the pictures, then you would say, "Oh wow, this is some evidence
really
that's
sad,
right in front of me. It's my neighbor. You know, it didn't come from TV or from someplace far away, and it's a reasonable thing that happens every day. People get in car accidents, so I'm
and
just going
to
use
my neighbor
brain.
Lie to me? Right.
Yeah. So then you'd say, okay, so this probably happened. But if someone came with a photo of a unicorn, would you process that information the same way?
Probably not.
It's kind of like people, they slip into this mode of, you know, my lying eyes deceive me, you know, like I can't, it must be true because, you know, 99% of the people on the planet process information that way. So it must be true. It doesn't matter that I'm looking at a photo of a unicorn and it's out of this world and it's the most far-fetched thing ever. You know, it's got to be true.
You know, realize that we don't have normal brains. You do that. That we don't look at things the same way a normal person does.
Well, really, at the end of the day,
people don't ever look very deep into anything. They flip from one thing to another thing to another thing.
They don't demand evidence. That's what we do is we say, okay, we demand evidence, which is like rational, logical, scientific thinking.
We're not of the norm. I don't think that our brain type is of the norm, but we would sit there and continue to delve into this information and continue to focus on it. I don't think that's a normal. I'm not saying normal that we aren't normal. It's that we're not of the norm. We're not in that big pool of people where they are okay with flitting from one thing to another and thinking somebody else is taking care of everything.
But wouldn't you say that you were like that at some point in your life, that you did think that way?
No. I think I've always been like this, but I was distracted with other things.
I
would always be the one that got way too much information. I remembered a lot more. Like, I hear throughout my life, man, you've got a great memory. How do you remember that? And I was always the oddball where you start telling someone something and their eyes would kind of roll back in their head because you're giving them way too much information. So
right.
No, I don't think I was ever.
See, for me, I feel like I had to deprogram and then retrain my brain into a new way of processing information. Because I remember, and I think that most people operate from a place of ego where they can't bear for a moment to question what they think is true, because then it would mean that they were up until that point they were kind of an idiot. So like for me, when I used to believe in global warming or climate change, there was a period of time where I like bought into that story where I thought it was real. And then when I did all the research and I realized how ridiculous and far-fetched it was, I had a moment where I was like, how did I fall for that? And that moment is super, it's very enlightening because not only have you changed your mind about something that you previously bought into, but you are also recognizing, whoa, like I've been processing information the wrong way. How did I fall for that?
That was my Ed Cherini experience. And I realized the power of hypnosis and video and liminal messages. And yeah, I thought, oh my God, how did I ever see that stuff?
Yeah, and I used to think the same thing. I used to, like, I would say, you know, how did I ever buy into something so far-fetched? What was I thinking? How was my brain operating at that time? And I was able, and that's, in a way, it's an enlightening, because then I was able to say, huh, like, wow, I was really kind of stupid. I was really kind of clueless.
Maybe most some people can't get, maybe they can't get to the point where they can say I was wrong and I want to go a different, I want to find the right way.
Sure, especially if you are in the system in terms of you've climbed a social ladder in terms of your career. So if it's science or whatever,
Might have a lot to lose if you do take that path.
Yeah, you're not going to suddenly say, "Oh my God, everything I believed was wrong, and now my entire career is meaningless, and my whole life is meaningless."
Right.
Because then it means admitting to yourself that you were tricked or you were duped.
Right.
Or you believe it because, I mean, really it comes down to you believe it because you're in fear, because you're afraid of what your life would mean if suddenly everything, your belief systems were turned upside down.
I think it's wanting the truth more than you want that paradigm, that wanting to know the truth more than you want safety of that paradigm.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. And then energetically as well, for me, I'm such a different person, and I'm attracted to and drawn to completely different people than I used to be, and it's all based on energy. So for example, I could really care less, or couldn't care less, I should say, about what comes out of someone's mouth in terms of their opinions or their political beliefs or their religious, their belief systems. None of it means anything to me because I know it's all BS. So what really matters is what, like, this person's heart is, where the person's heart is and their character and their integrity.
But could that be where they're not in control of the fear, we're actually connecting more to the energy of others? Because I know what you mean. I feel a connection to certain people where, I don't know, I'm just more positive, and it's like the babble that comes out of people's mouths when they talk about the left-right paradigm. It's like the teacher in the Peanuts, Charlie Brown, where you don't hear a word they're saying. It has no effect on you. It's like noise, but I am drawn to more the energy of a positive person that
their heart's full of love. They're open. They're not.
Yeah, and they're not plugged into the television. I find that that's the thing too, is that they don't, like I went and I saw a friend from high school. We've been like the best of friends through the years. We just pick up where we left off and all the time. But it's like, I just shared with her everything that I thought. And I thought, well, maybe this is too much. But then I realized she doesn't watch television. She never did. So when I started talking to her about this, it was like she could see why and how, and it made perfect sense to her. So,
yeah, you know, my favorite friends they don't have TVs. They're living their lives. You know,
they don't talk about what show was on and all.
Yeah, and they're not
series.
Like consuming media. You know, I know a girl. She runs a nonprofit. And I've known her for 15 years. We're not really good friends, but 15 years ago when I first met her, I did some volunteer work for her nonprofit. And back then, you know, I was kind of stuck in the, oh, you know, the right wing is evil and Republicans are evil. You know, I was kind of stuck in this like liberal, like ridiculous, you know, bias.
Useless, yeah,
propaganda.
Powerless, yeah.
And eventually I learned more and evolved and realized that paradigm was false and grew out of that and moved forward. But she's still stuck in that even worse. And I see, like, you know, the kind of stuff she posts on Facebook. And there was a period where there was a period of about 6 years where I didn't see her, and then I saw her again. And those 6 years, I could see it took such a toll on her. She takes on all of the world's issues, you know, all the problems, all the injustices, you know, the oil spills and the wars and everything. And she's even posted stuff on Facebook where, you know, she'll say something like, is anyone else constantly on the verge of tears or is it just me?
Because oh, that's so sad.
I know it's so sad that this person's a victim of warfare, like psychological, spiritual warfare. And I could see when I saw her 6 years later, I could see like she looked like she had really aged a lot. It looked like she was unhappy and
probably
tired.
Probably had cancer growing in her or whatever.
That's the plan, right? That's because you worry, and the worry leads to stress, and the stress will kill you.
Yeah, just that.
the only way to avoid it really is to completely ignore it, you know, and not, you know, I mean, obviously we still read articles and stuff, but we look at it as if it's fiction and it's, you know, we laugh at it. I mean, NASA is such a clown show.
I think I come back to, you know, I always question myself. Maybe I'm not looking at this right. Maybe, you know, I got another Ed Sheeran thing going on where, you know, they fooled me again and I'm going to wake up and realize that all of this stuff is real or whatever. And I come back to look and each time it just gets more and more ridiculous.
So, yeah, me too. Even what I know about fakery, I still sometimes question it. Like, what if they want me to think it's fake?
Right. Well, I know it's controlled by them too, because after what we went through this last while and then looking for raw footage and not finding it, and I just find that I really think that they're in control of that layer too. They're in control of showing, you know, not to say that a lot of that stuff out there isn't made by you and I or Kay Hammett. She's doing a lot of those. But I think that they have their own that they put out. Like the whole PSYOP actor thing is, it feels like it's put out by them. And now after doing the analysis of that press conference, it's like, I know that was put out by them because like anyone's generating or rendering all these fake people on their own. You know, I think it's a big program paid for by someone.
I would say, you know, one thing that I'm really grateful for is that I feel like I'm a much better person now. You know, I'm smarter and I'm sharper. I'm more compassionate. And really, I'm happier and relieved. There's less stress in my life, which is a cause for celebration. And at the same time, you know, if I watch a politician or a scientist like on Neil deGrasse Tyson or somebody like that, I can tell that he's lying. You know, I couldn't really tell before.
And you can tell that he knows that he's lying.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Sometimes it's harder to tell. but you know, with him, for instance, he speaks with such contempt and, you know, authority, and he's kind of a bully in some ways.
That's the recipe for what he does. Yeah.
Yeah, and just his cadence and his, you know, tone and just the way that he speaks is, you know, inflections and stuff like that. And I find that that's translated into my life, where if I meet someone, I know if they're authentic or not just because of the energy they're carrying. And a lot of times, you know, going back to like the people are so wowed by stories, you know? So, you know, you'll always see like someone who, the person who's like, you know, kind of, I don't know if life of
the party. Reciting the narrative?
I don't know if life of the party is the right phrase, but people who crave attention, they tend to talk a lot and they tell stories and they want attention. And so, and people are drawn to that. And people get seduced by someone who's a good speaker, let's say, or this person is in a position of some sort of social status, whether it's because of their career or their, or artistic or they invented something or whatever it is. And you know, people will be drawn to somebody like that to the point where they'll pay money to go listen to someone speak about their thoughts and their vision of the future. And like, people will actually pay money just to go listen to someone else give you their opinion about something. Think about how silly that is.
Well, I think there are some smart people out there that actually are visionaries to some degree. And
I mean, aren't we all visionaries to some degree?
Oh, yeah. I think that, yeah, to ignore their neighbor and to be drawn to the fairy tale, I think is the wrong message. You know, I think that's wrong. But I think that we don't listen to each other and we don't speak enough to each other. I think that's how they like it. They want us to be in our little prison cells, hooked in to the machine and you know, controlled.
Yeah, and they don't want us to pay attention to, say, like our own intuition, you know? When you see an article online or someone is, you know, selling something or speaking about something and you have that gut feeling that this person is full of BS, you know, but then the average person just gets so wowed by it. I mean, a good example is like, you know, all the TED Talks
or Neil deGrasse Tyson, he's on tour, like giving speeches, giving talks. And people go in there and they're not, you know, the average person isn't going in there to learn something about science. They just want to hear him speak. They want to be charmed by his charisma. And like, you know, I'm sure he tells jokes and he's funny and he makes everyone comfortable and makes everybody laugh. So it's like they're going for a performance. They're not going to learn about science.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think in general society, the more I observe, especially activists, like who are in constant fear, you know, they have really good hearts, but they're under complete control as far as their minds. Their minds are hijacked. They spend all day consuming media because they're so apathetic or they're so sympathetic to all the world's problems. They want to be aware, quote unquote, aware.
That sounds like also like a reborn Christian that wants to save everyone, and they're so focused on program that they forget to see the people that they're actually trying to save.
Yeah, save the world. And like the TED Talks, there's TED Talks coming up here in Denver, which is kind of funny. And there's this buzz, you know, online and in social media and stuff like that about TED. TED's coming, get your tickets. And people are so excited about it, and they didn't even announce who's speaking yet. So it's like all these people went and spent all this money without even knowing who the speakers
were. Those are expensive tickets. Those are crazy expensive tickets.
They are expensive tickets. And then they just announced
Were they like $500 or $1,500 or something crazy like that?
Well, it's TEDx, so I think it's cheaper. It's not the regular TED Talks. It's just TEDx. Oh, okay. So I think it's cheaper than that. But you know, and then they just announced the first 7 speakers, and so now everybody's talking about it. And there's some good speakers, and there's definitely good information. You know, I don't feel like it's 100% propaganda, but I do feel like there are good people out there who are doing good things, and then they get hijacked by some larger movement. And a good example is I actually dated a girl who gave a TED Talk, and you know, she was working for this company that was developing this, you know, alternative energy. It's basically a soil supplement that you add to the soil and the plants can grow at a better rate or whatever. You get more plentiful plants. And they, you know, her TED Talk was framed in around the narrative of climate change and how this product was going to improve climate change and carbon and this and that. So it was a really awesome idea and it's a great product. I actually use it in my garden, but it became less about the thing itself and more about the bigger subject, which was climate change. And I feel like she was kind of a pawn in a way because she believed in that whole climate change thing for a while. And then, you know, after meeting me, she became skeptical, but it's just funny. It's funny that I think that if there's someone that the community respects, this person is, you know, this person has had a lot of success and has done some amazing things. Suddenly they get put on a pedestal and I've seen it. I've seen how people react to, you know, spending time with celebrities like, oh, this person was, you know, so humble and so amazing and so accomplished and no. And it's like, but what do you really know about this person? You're just wowed by their accomplishments, like, which is definitely you should admire that. But
that was an interesting thing that I think Avid posted something about this celebrity and how they take advantage of us because it's a tribal sort of instinctive thing to hang out with celebrities. Because then, you know, in days of old, that's where, you know, they, you got their women or their food or they're able to survive better, which I think is kind of interesting in itself. I think that's just learning more about who we are as people. Well, but I wanted to say too, as far as but I lost my thought there. I was waiting to share it.
There's a person that I don't really know directly. I haven't met this person, but a bunch of my friends have met this person just through their circumstances in different social circles. And the person happens to be very, very successful. He lives in Europe, and I don't even really remember what he does for a living, but he's got a lot of money. You know, he's got millions. And I noticed that in social circles, when people refer to him or talk about him, it's always with so much admiration. And I even had one friend tell me, because he was coming through town, and I even had one friend ask me, like, have you met him yet? And I said, no, I haven't met him yet. He said, oh, well, maybe you can meet him when he comes into town. And so it was like this, well, I'm, you know, why would I want to meet this person just because they have money and they travel the world and they live this amazing life? I mean, that person's just a stranger. And, you know, why should that person be any more interesting? Granted, they're probably an interesting person, but why would I want to meet them more than the person that lives across the street or the person that works at Home Depot or, you know, I mean, it's just, it's
I think when you unplug, this was my point that I was trying to make earlier, is that we don't, the friend of mine that I work with, when topics come, he still reads the news and he comes out and he gets so emotional about some of these topics and he goes back and forth and back and forth and you could just see the effects that the news has on him. But looking at it from your viewpoint or my viewpoint now, I'm more interested in why he's getting all wigged out and spun out because of these things around him or why things move him to a certain way. And I think that when we unplug from all of that, like you look at this celebrity and think to yourself, well, he's just another person, because we don't have that emotional connection to the whole, well, I guess the Matrix, right? So the celebrity doesn't do anything for you anymore. Because I do the same thing. I look at these people and I think they're just people. Or you go to a room and you look at them all and you know that they're all scared. They're all worried about their own, whatever it is that they have to project or portray or whatever. And I'm just so focused on how they're doing and how they're feeling. But I notice that I don't fall into the, I guess when you unplug, you don't fall into that, oh, let me go meet the celebrity.
Yeah, you don't. Well, yeah, you know, it's so funny.
I think and also my other point was, is that when you're so emotional, like when we're walking and talking about these topics that they throw out in the news, I'm just asking questions and the other side is so emotional about things that I find that we have to take a while before it calms down and then we can discuss it. Because it's like when they get you going in so many different ways, don't think rationally. And I think that now that we're not plugged in, I think we have more of a rational, at least in my twisted mind, I guess, I think that I'm a little more disconnected or rational in looking at picture or topics that are presented.
Right, because you're not just asking questions. You're also demanding evidence, which is a scientific approach.
Right.
We take a scientific approach by saying, okay, well, here's the story. How do we know it's true? So we need evidence. Okay, so the first evidence is maybe an eyewitness, somebody who has a story. If you're lucky,
and
it
drives the people that are plugged in, it drives them crazy because they'll look at you. When you start talking like that, Sammy, they'll say, no, not everything is fake. They want you to plug in and they want you to connect with this emotional story and you're just not doing it because we have a different way of looking at the topics.
Yeah. They're invested, you know, they're invested in their own blissful ignorance and mind control. They're fully invested in it. They want it. They want to be plugged in. They just don't, they may not even realize that without it, they don't know how to process anything. They wouldn't even know how to interact with the world around them.
Yeah. It's funny in social settings where, you know, how you either fall back or you step forward. In most cases, I find that I always step forward and I'm trying to connect people because I feel that they're very uncomfortable being in any social setting. So, you know, trying to connect them and trying to make them feel more comfortable and really sad what this world has become, you know, as far as how people can't even feel comfortable together with other people. Fear your neighbor, fear anyone that is in a room with you.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing a lot in my daily life to try to break free of those old social conditioning. You know, like, for example, just 2 days ago, I was mowing the lawn, and I noticed that my neighbor across the street was kind of fiddling with one of those like trimmer, like lawn, it's not a lawnmower, but it's like the manual lawnmower where the wheels like move and the blade just spins around.
The grass cutter, yeah.
Yeah. And immediately I was like, okay, well, I'm about to mow the lawn. So she looks like she needs some help. So I walked over and I said, hey, I said, I'm about to mow my lawn. I'm like, do you want me to mow your lawn for you? And she said, yeah, my lawnmower is broken. And I'm just like, this thing isn't really working very well. And, she said, you know, and she was like shocked that I had come to offer, and I'm her neighbor, you know, but I could tell just from their energy that she was shocked that someone offered her help. And then she, you know, offered me, she said, well, do you want me to give you some money or something? And I said, no, it's fine. I'll take care of it. It'll take me 10 minutes. You're my neighbor, you know?
Yeah.
And I think if we do more of that, we can maybe lead by example.
They'll want what we have. And I'm, you know, I do find people do ask me, what do you think of that? I had someone come ask me when I was, they asked me what I thought of the Boston bombings or the school bombings and or shootings. And but people have you in the back of their mind. They'll come and they want to know what your take is on it. Some way, you know, they see, a lot of people see me as very talented in my job. And if I've got this, you know, skill in my job, and it's not like I'm a crazy, stupid person. So I often wonder what they think when they actually do come and ask me for technical advice or for what I think about this particular world event. And do they step out of their safety zone just to see, is everything okay? And then they go back and, okay, I want to be fearful again. I don't know. I'm trying to understand them, I guess.
Well, they're definitely unaware of the fear. I'm certain of that. And I've noticed that for myself, I can feel fear in people so much more nowadays because I understand it. I understand what it feels like.
Right.
And I don't want it around me. I noticed that without even, like, subconsciously, I won't spend time or even want to be standing near someone who's full of fear. Subconsciously,
you know what?
I'll
it's
move away
funny
from
because, them. It's funny because the conversation I had the other night with John, I really like John. I think he's a great guy. I had a great conversation, but it's like the topic, it just wasn't where I wanted to be. It was just really uncomfortable.
What was the topic?
It was on fear of what's going on in their country. It was a political thing. First of all, I'm not really into the politics thing. And if I was into politics for, my whole thing was that I would rather do something locally. Now, he was just in a different place, but I realized that, and even afterwards, like I realized that I don't know why I even participated in that conversation and why, because it's not, I don't want to be around here. And I respect those that want to, but it was just, and not to say that one was right or one was wrong. It was just two different ways of handling it. And I just felt that, like when you say, I don't want to be around fear, that's exactly how I felt about that whole situation. And is it putting my head in the sand and not looking at the reality of things?
No.
I'd rather do my own research. I don't want to get on somebody else's fear train. It's like if it were offered to me as something to look into, I want to absorb it. I want to go research it. I want to make my mind up. I don't want to jump on the train to, this is happening.
You don't
have to not do something.
Sometimes you don't even have to research it. You can tell right away, oh, this is just a fear campaign.
When you identify the fear in everything, then you realize that if I jump on the fear train, I'm not thinking rationally. And I don't want to be on a fear train. So, and it's not to say that I don't think the topic isn't valid. It's just I choose to move in a different direction with a different plan. And
they will say, activists and, you know, these kind of people, they will say that you're sticking your head in the sand and you're ignoring the world's problems. That's what they'll say.
Right.
But really.
Are you?
I would rather
do something that I can control because I know that I have more power. I have more power when I don't plug into that. If I read about it, if I take it in and I go and I do something with my body, with my mind, and walk myself into a courthouse, go down here and take care of this, you know, go and, you know, make phone calls,
emails, go stand on somebody's street corner talking to people. You know, those are the things I know I can control. I did just plug into something that's not, that's going to make me feel powerless. I just can't do that. And I totally agree. That that's not for, like I said, who am I to tell someone that they should run their life a different way? I just know what works for me.
Well, I mean, when it comes to fear, there's nothing you can do. It's just like an alcoholic. You can't help them unless they want to help themselves.
Right.
And, but once you identify that something is fear and now you're familiar with what it feels like, then when it comes around in a different way, you're like, oh, that's that same feeling.
You know, when I think it was funny when that comment came about, I was beyond this. I don't think I was saying that like I was full of this and I was above this. It was that I felt like I was beyond this point of jumping on the fear train. I need to go take other action. And I think maybe I came across as very elitist. I don't know what. That wasn't how I wanted to sound. I felt uncomfortable through a lot of the conversation, and I didn't feel that. Yeah, after I thought, why was I even talking? It doesn't. Not my. I don't have a dog in that race, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So. And I respect others that do. And I respect their way of wanting to handle it the way they do. I know that it's not productive for me, and it's not productive in my paradigm right now.
See, for me, it's hard to respect. I mean, I definitely don't judge, but I wouldn't say that I respect others for participating in their own slavery and their own fear-based control.
If they don't know any better, if that's their, or, and I don't mean that in a condescending way, if that's what they know and that's the only way they know how to handle it, then that's what they have to do. So I just think that, like, I think Abbott said something about, we were just arguing about the same thing. We're pretty much on the same side. It's just we just don't handle it the same way or deal with it the same way. So,
yeah, and it's not like there's not bad things happening in the world, because there are.
Oh, yeah. But you know what? I think that there are a lot fewer bad things than we think there are.
I totally agree with that.
And I have a restored faith in man. I know that when I go out, you know, and not to say that it won't happen, but I'm pretty sure that, you know, the odds are in my favor for not being attacked, robbed, mugged, you know, depending on where you're going. I think that money tends to make people, if people had a lot of money, they don't care. You're in a very safe place. Because if you're in a place where people need money, then, you know, you could be mugged or robbed or whatever. But as far as people really wanted to hurt you, I think they have to be either under the influence of something. You know, it's too much energy to spend on someone else. I don't think that we have a lot of Dexters in our world, you know?
Yeah, but people believe that we do because of TV shows like Dexter,
yes.
You know? And Jeffrey Dahmer, and there's serial killers out there, and rapists,
right,
and murderers, and one around every corner.
And not to say that there aren't. I think that there are probably a lot fewer.
Few and far between, sure.
Yeah, because if you look in nature, I'm sure that there are some oddballs in nature, and I'm sure there are people with mental issues, but why isn't it that the mental issues are killing a lot more people? Why is it that even people with mental issues aren't killing people?
Right.
Well, look at autistic people. That's a perfect example. Well, they say that they don't have empathy, or they don't have the mirror cells or something. And beautiful people. But it's like, for what they're telling us, it's like those people should, you know, just be getting in my way and I'll just smack you down or, what, you know, whatever. It's just like, I don't think that that's who we are as humans. I think that we are, for us to, like, nature has made us to procreate and live with each other, you know, and to actually get along, or obviously manipulate others, but.
Right. Well, that comes down to the conversation about the difference between, you know, human nature and human behavior.
Right.
You know, so I believe that human nature is to be good, and human behavior is what we see in our world every day, where people behave a certain way, but that's not the true nature of who they are. They wouldn't, if you look at a baby, you know, a baby is just pure light and love and goodness. It's when the baby gets older and there's indoctrination and external forces, that's when the person starts acting from a place of their human behavior, what is now their behavior versus their intrinsic nature.
But I don't think that we as humans we can't live an inauthentic life. I don't think that we want to be. I don't think we can be evil, like knowing that we're evil and being totally evil. I don't think that we could. We all want to think that we're good, right? We all want to think that there's purpose to our life.
I mean,
I know that there are people that manipulate others, and we see the product of it every day. But you know, the fact that they don't have real people and they're not killing real people gives me insight to them as well, because they don't want that on their conscience either. Not to say that they haven't through history, but I think it probably makes them feel more human. They don't. Not to say that they're not killing people with the stress and everything else.
Well, they kill people by not doing things, like, you know, people who don't have drinking water and are starving in Africa and stuff like that. Those people could be very easily be helped and saved, but no one cares about them.
No, because they're like cattle. We're all like cattle to them.
But it's funny, because when you look at what in our society, you know, just turn on the TV or social media every day, and it's this constant rampant narcissism. Everyone wants to prove that they are someone special.
And we all are. It's funny.
We all are, but how do we measure?
We're all sleeping specials. Like, if you could just take that and put that into helping others or being of service to your own community and your own family, your own children, your own life, can you imagine? You know, and we are special, but they're all looking for that fraud and fakeness in the Matrix, where they think that everybody needs to be a movie star, and
right. So, like, what is it about us that's makes us special?
They have hooked into, like that documentary. I really liked it, where they've hooked into something that's very innate, I guess, or something that's very a need that we have.
And what do you think
manipulating
that need is?
It for us to feel like we're special, I guess, or to feel connected. And I think people look for a connection in that. They think that if I reach that status, I'll be connected to everything, rather than just connecting with those people around them.
Well, what do you think it is that actually makes us special individuals?
I think it's the reflection in other people's eyes, right? You want to feel like you're of service to someone else, that they value what you have to contribute. And I think that when you do give from yourself to another in a selfless way, that's reflected back to us. I really feel that.
So would you agree with, you know, if the statement, what makes us special is things
the connection,
like our heart and our compassion towards others.
Right.
And I agree with that. But I think that society has reached a place now where individuals, through mind control and brainwashing, they believe that they have to do something extraordinary in order to be seen as special. And they have to have accomplishments or these grand achievements. Because there are artists and business people and scientists and out there who do great things, and when that happens, you know, the media and society in general puts that person up on a pedestal. And so then we're all looking up at all of these figures up on these pedestals.
These unattainable figures.
Yeah, we want to be that. That's what we want to be, because we feel like in order to be accepted by our peers or to be liked by society and to be held high, you know, I really feel like, you know, people secretly want to be celebrities. They want to be famous. People want fame.
Right. See, the fame is actually in your community. And it's funny because there was this woman, the way I volunteer every week, that's why I miss Kay's job. And this woman actually came up to me and she said, I just want you to know, because I always say, it's so good to see you. Whenever I see someone new, I always, and it is, it's like so good to see people I haven't seen. And so every time I get together, I always let people know that I love to see them and it's so good to see you. And this woman came to me and she says, you know, I go to church every Sunday and I really want what you have. I want, and I've never had that kind of compliment where somebody has said that I can see the peace in you and I can see what you have. And I, you know, I go home and I pray and I get so frustrated in my life. And then I come here and I see how much time you put in here and I just want what you have.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, to have someone actually say that to you, and that to me tells me that, okay, maybe I am doing something right. Maybe this is the key to it all. Maybe it's being of service, connecting with others. And like, that's what I love about this site and talking with, you know, with Kay and with the other fakeologists. It's like we just connect. I don't think I've ever really talked this much and connected this much with anyone before. So I think that
is healthy, I think.
It's happiness. It's true happiness. And you know, once you get past the fear and you identify it, you don't want to be back there. You want to be where you're talking about something that's really connecting your soul with another. You feel it.
Yeah, because then you reach a point where you realize, I don't have to be informed, quote unquote, because that doesn't mean anything.
Right.
And I feel like most people live their lives and interact with the world every day where they feel like it's their duty to be informed in order to be a more interesting person.
Right.
I want to be a more interesting
current
person so that I'll be, current events. I want to be well read on current events. I want to be an informed person so that people will respect me because I have opinions that others would consider, you know, progressive or, you know, intellectual. It's really pseudo intellectual. It's just nonsense because none of these opinions were formed from your own, you know, from these
people.
Funny
because I find that people love you when you listen to them.
Yeah.
Know?
Yeah.
It's like they usually hate the person that's standing out in the middle, you know, who the hell does he think he is? Like I had on that other night, you know?
Well, I've seen the opposite as well. I've seen people who are drawn to charisma. Mm-hmm. And charm. That's why everyone loves Bill Clinton because he's such a charmer.
Right.
And it's that type of person gives others around them this like magical, mesmerizing feeling and they make them feel special in some way. But it's not because they're connecting with them, like you're saying, listening. Cause
the dream.
I'm the same way. I'm definitely a good listener. And I find that a lot of times if I'm listening to someone, they might be talking about something that I don't even believe in. And I'm just in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, you know, well, I don't believe in any of this, but I'm just listening, you know.
They feel good in at least sharing it and putting that out.
And I hear that, I get that all the time. You're such a good listener. And it's an interesting thing to be a good listener because I don't have anything to add because you might as well be talking about, like Ab says, you know, you might as well be talking about Han Solo and Chewbacca.
Yeah.
But concept of people who have charisma and charm, I think it's a really, really big problem in our society because those are the people that can manipulate others because they're just in awe of this person's achievements and accomplishments and their charisma. And so they'll pay money to go listen to their speeches or they will support their cause.
But there are people that have charisma for great purpose and great contribution to society. I don't think by labeling all of that, because there are people in the community that'll motivate people to do what they can do in the community.
In the community, sure, but once they reach a level of, I don't want to use the word fame, but social status where
they
might get interviewed for a newspaper article, there might be a magazine, you know, because this magazine article, because this person is doing some groundbreaking something. You're never going to see, you know, Simon Shack, somebody like him, you know, put on a pedestal by society.
unless they really want to change their paradigm and tell us a new one, yeah.
You, those people will only get put in, you know, a position of leadership if what they're preaching is in line with, you know, agendas, whatever the agenda is.
Right.
And, you know, you can see, you can even see it in people's relationships, like people when, you know, when, let's say, you know, friends who date, who, you know, you go, you support them while they go through their dating phases and stuff. And, you know, I've seen it so many times where, you know, I'll see a friend get involved with someone and then maybe it's short lived. It only lasts for a few months and then they break up and I'm there to listen, you know, and I a lot of times I find myself thinking, how did you not see this person's character from the beginning? Because I felt like I had a pretty good read
you
on
had
who
no
this
emotional
person was.
Connection. That's why.
Yeah.
But see, because, when you have no
like
emotional connection,
they were odd, and it's like they were mesmerized by that charm and the charisma.
Right. And when you're emotional, you don't really think intellectually.
Yeah, you're gullible, and that's how you become manipulated. That's why everyone is so manipulated, because the information they receive comes from people in positions of authority or some sort of social status where they are a slick speaker and they have a way of communicating. So it's very easy for them to, you know, preach disinformation, and people just gobble it up. It's like the old snake oil salesman, you know, like they would show up with this tonic where they would say, you rub this tonic on and it will cure, you know, the worst pneumonia or whatever. And people would line up to buy it and they would just steal their money. And it's, you know, sugar water or something like that.
And what's really changed, right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. It's so funny. Like the infomercial kind of stuff.
Yeah.
People want to be entertained. They love fiction. That's why they sit in front of their TVs and watch all these TV shows, because they love to be entertained and they love stories.
Right. They want the magic.
Yeah, they want that fuzzy. And I think that also comes down to fear too, because in Western society, modern Western society, in America, let's say, you know, there's no cultural you know, in a lot of other areas of the world, there's the religion is sort of like the base of the culture. And so that's a whole different, you know, set of brainwashing. It's a different type. It's a spiritual type of brainwashing. Whereas here, we don't have that religious foundation per se. Our society, our culture doesn't really come from religion. It comes more from like media and entertainment and stuff like that.
Right. Religion is kind of handed over their power to the, yeah.
But deep down inside, individuals are looking for, they want that spiritual thing in their lives. But, you know, in the case of my family, if I were to be born in that culture where my parents were born, I would be raised as a Muslim, and I would be, you know, I would be like that. They are, their daily lives are predicated, everything that they do, everything they think, the way they behave and the way they act, it all comes from a fundamental spiritual place and a belief in God, let's say, right? Whereas here we don't have that. So people seek out other things, whether it might be, you know, yoga or other spiritual practices. And that's why people here also are so mesmerized by, you know, NASA and like space exploration, because they don't have God. So they need something else. And so they, and it comes down to fear, because they're afraid of being
too, right?
Sure, but
isn't that their God?
But spiritually, you know, there's a void. You know, there's a void in your life if you don't have some sort of spiritual practice or something that you can identify with that is, okay, I believe in a greater power or whatever it might be. And so, you know, I think that people ultimately comes down to fear again, because people are afraid that they might be alone, and then when they die and that's it. Whereas people who are religious, they don't have that fear. They know that when they die, God will take care of them or whatever.
See, Sammy, that's where I disagree with you. I think they have that fear even more so. I think they're just in another fear bubble.
Yeah. I mean, there is that too.
You know, I think that was the first psyop to manage the herd.
And I think that when you look at, you know, my father thought he was dying, and of course being, you know, feeling like he's got to get right with God, he ended up marrying his girlfriend or whatever. And then he found out he wasn't dying after that. So now he's stuck being married. But, you know, that was that fear of, oh my gosh, I got to make things right. So what would motivate someone to do that when he didn't want to do that before dying?
Well, yeah, that was definitely fear.
Right. So I think that that's a lot. That whole, you know, people are motivated by fear in churches, like fear of being ostracized by their community or.
You know, yeah, I mean, I think
you
that's
find
religion.
A lot of fake.
I would say there's a difference between, you know, like that superficial religious beliefs.
But I think that's who you find in churches and things like that. I think more spiritual people tend not to go because they don't.
Well, I think
that's just
like,
my opinion.
I look at, like, you know, my mom or my family, right? They're all devout Muslims, and you know they have a very strong relationship with God. And now, granted, they still. You know, I still see a lot of fear that they have because of media and other things, but the relationship with God is like so strong that, you know, they don't fear death and they don't fear that they lived their lives wrong in a wrong way or they have regrets because they always did what they believed with their personal connection with God, not necessarily what the religion told them, but they have this personal fulfillment and this personal.
That could be the spiritual side, but I think it's religion, and that's just me. I just think religion is a.
I agree. I think
a control.
I think there's a difference between like that religious control and the religious, like the fear of what the religion, you know, religious propaganda makes you fearful of. Versus one's own internal personal connection with, let's say, that person's God.
Where they're
content, they're satisfied, and they're happy. And there may not even be a lot of those kind of people out there. There's probably a whole lot of fear around that as well. But I feel like in this society, there's a lot of that that's missing.
Yeah, but then with churches and things like that, in some ways I think that they are good environments and that they do make people become of service to others, and they do bring people together in a community. So, pluses and minuses.
Sure. I mean, people who are really religious and believe in God, they live their lives a certain way based on some sort of moral code. Now, you know, regardless of whether that, you know, is true or not, and you know, people turn to the Bible for strength, and you know, I look at my family, for example, and I just look at the way they live, and they're just good people. They have a moral sense of what's right and wrong. Now, but then if you look at the other opposite side, where we're like living in this science world where it's all an accident, you know, it's all Big Bang, meaningless, godless accident. That promotes the type of behavior that is, you know, it's all like moral relativism, you know? Well, none of it means anything anyways, man, so we can just do whatever we want.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that a lot of people on the science side actually, you know, when you look at it, they say that people in the religious side, they, in as long as the day, you know, they figure that, well, I'll take care of it when I go to heaven or at the gates or whatever. And the people that are more scientific might feel like they need to live an authentic life at present. So I think there's different characters on either side. I think they're both manipulators of the herd.
I do too. But I do, and that's probably a generalization on my part, but I do observe, just based on my observations, you know, I think that people have an empty, that people who don't have spirituality have some kind of an emptiness.
I think
so
people
then they
in
turn,
the churches just fake it more. You know, I think that they put them in a place where they have to look like they've got it all going on.
Oh, well, I'm not talking about religion and people in churches. I'm talking about people who actually do have their own internal personal, you know, spirituality.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like those
people that are scientists that do have a spirituality of that, you know, believe in science as well.
Sure. I mean, I would consider myself, you know, kind of along those lines, although I don't really believe in fake science, but I do believe that there is, you know, legitimate science happening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I, you know, I also think that I think that inherently we all are searching for something.
I think it's connection. That's just my, that's what we search for, and that's what we try to find. And I think by sitting in front of a television, there's the illusion of connecting.
Yeah.
Connecting with a story, connecting with other people.
Yeah, David Letterman, he's like your best friend for 30 years.
I think that it's like a surrogate, right? We lost that connection with others. And they like it like that.
No, oh, absolutely.
It's easier to control. Be connected. Can you imagine if a whole bunch of us connected like this and really talked about, really looked at things? We wouldn't be able to put a whole lot past us. You know, their game might be there. But if you had people that were seriously just analyzing everything, and I'm sure there are, but for what purpose? But actually have the masses hold them accountable for every little thing and not be influenced by television or the psychology that they use.
Or even just, you know, society's opinion of you if you did something that society deems is wrong. Like, let's say you littered. You know, you were walking down the street and you littered. Now, you shouldn't do that. But, you know, we've reached a point now where you could be, like, publicly shamed, that, you know, because you did that.
Or somebody would come up behind you and pick it up and say, oh, you dropped something here.
Yeah, or, like, shame on you. Like, throw that in the trash, you know? And it's kind of like, well, who are you to tell me what to do? That's just a kind of a silly example, but that you could be publicly shamed for, you know, not vaccinating your child.
Right.
And people are so wrapped up in it because, A, you know, they want to save the world, and B, they want to be respected. They have that secret desire for fame and respect and adoration, and that's just all ego bullshit. And then C, they want to be seen as successful. They want money. They want a level of social status, and that's all ego too. It's like that righteous indignation, like, oh, I have to save the world. It's all on my shoulders. I've got to do something great so that people will remember me and I'll have a legacy.
Right.
But then what is your actual character like in your, you know, your integrity? Are you an honest person? Do you have a good heart? Because, I mean, I don't, like, to me, I respect and am drawn more to, like you're saying, the person who is living their life day to day, volunteering in their community, helping their neighbor, versus someone who created a nonprofit and raised a bunch of money for Hurricane Katrina and then went on a bunch of TV shows and gave interviews and everyone's just drooling over how amazing this person is. Like, I don't know that person. I don't know their heart. I don't know. Maybe they just did all of that for the fame and ego.
For those people that I think mothers, grandmothers, grandfathers, they say that your grandchildren will never remember the gifts you gave them. They'll just remember the times you spent with them.
Right.
It's like,
so true.
So I think it's the times that we spend with each other and the time that we connect with each other. That's what means something to all of us. And just, you know, that, yeah, the fame thing is really kind of ridiculous once you jump out of that bubble.
Yeah, and then it's also the desire to
connect, be connected.
Well, the desire,
have connections,
what I was
to all
say,
of the other fake personalities out there as well.
Yeah, people want to have a connection with something that everybody else respects. So, ooh, I'm going to go get tickets to the TED Talk, or I'm going to go see Neil deGrasse Tyson speak when he comes to town, because that's what all my peers are doing, and that makes me an intellectual.
That's going to validate me.
Yeah, it's going to, yeah, because I'm usually right there with everyone else.
From our friends and our connections, but because I don't have any, by me having all this status, it'll validate who I think I should be.
And it's funny when you go through your own process of what you just said, because, like, I remember a time in my life where I still have times in my life where I don't necessarily feel comfortable in certain social situations. And for the longest time, I thought it was because there was something wrong with me, because I couldn't connect with people for whatever, for my own reasons, my own insecurities or whatever it is. And then, you know, as I changed and evolved and unplugged and started being more drawn to different types of people, then I started meeting people who really, like, from the beginning, they just accepted me for who I was, and they really liked me without me having to win them over or impress them with my words. Right. You know, they knew that I was, they know that I'm an amazing person based on how I express myself artistically or just my heart and just the,
or how you want to connect
observe.
With them. Yeah.
Yeah. They can observe, the way that I interact with the world around me, even if I don't say anything.
That's
so
definitely more a better energy. That's for sure.
Yeah. It's all energetic.
Yeah.
But people are so wrapped up in this idea of celebrity, like even the Dalai Lama, you know, even the Dalai Lama of all, you know, figures.
Does he really exist, or is he just another one of their psyop actors?
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Why should we put the celebrity spiritual teacher up on this? I worship him and pay money to go hear him speak. For what?
Because somewhere way back when, people put a lot of the medicine man or the spiritual connector. Like, if they could only see that we are the spiritual connectors, all of us, and they would see that he's just not needed.
Yeah,
just to connect as another human.
You know, they'll make Leonardo DiCaprio the spokesman for the UN panel on climate change. I mean, that's
they do that because we follow it. They use celebrity because we follow, and we will do that. Monkey see, monkey do.
Yeah, we worship the ground they walk on.
Yeah, celebrity has its power.
It's so powerful. And even if it's not a traditional celebrity, if it's just, even if it's just someone.
Even if it's a sim celebrity.
Yeah. Like, have you ever seen, you know, have you ever, like, let's say you've been invited to a barbecue or something where you go over to a friend's house and you meet some of their friends, and there's a one character who is, like, you know, the most talkative, the most animated, the most,
self-absorbed.
Yeah, exactly. It's all ego shit. But everyone, you know, a lot of people are drawn to that energy that this person is, an entertainer. You know, it's kind of like the Bob Hope syndrome or whatever. Like, people are just love entertainment. It doesn't matter. You can listen to someone tell stories all night long. And it's like, okay, but at the end of the day, like, sure, they're funny and they're interesting. But I mean, what is underneath all that at the end of the day? I recently had a friend who had an opportunity to go have dinner with a group of people. And one of the people was like a director, a big time Hollywood movie director or something. Actually, I think the guy like won an Oscar award for best director one year or something. And my friend was going on and on about like the opportunity to meet this person. And I guess my friend was like a big fan of some of his movies or whatever. And I understand the admiration for somebody's art and their artistic craft. In this case, it's filmmaking. So I can understand, and I think it's great to appreciate someone who is maybe a painter or a, you know, musician or, you know, a filmmaker. I get that. But really, at the end of the day, aren't you just appreciating the person's work? You're not, it's really not about them. It's about what they did, their accomplishment. And so then, you know, it was a very interesting exercise in observing how someone was behaving at the prospect of meeting this person who they don't know anything about other than their body of work, which they've seen, you know, and based on their body of work, they were so, you know, so excited to meet this person. And I thought that was a little strange. And then we spoke afterwards, and it was just on and on of adoration about how charming and this person was, and how, oh, he couldn't have been more humble and respectful and not full of himself, and you know, validating that this person is so amazing, you know, that this person is, you know, like a Vincent van Gogh type of a figure. But you really only spend an hour or two with the person. You don't really know anything about them. So why is this person, receive so much respect from you? You don't even really know them. You're just in awe of their accomplishments and their work, which is great. I mean, should be, you know, somebody does something interesting, like it's worth, you know, it's worth the respect. But to then like transfer that to the person and say, wow, this person himself is amazing. I mean, I just, that concept is so strange to me, because somebody can do something amazing or do something, you know, beautiful. That means that they're a beautiful person.
Well, I think it reflects on who, you know, it's just a side of who they are, not necessarily everything of who they are. But I think that we should connect, or we should, some ways, you know, if somebody built something that really meant a lot to you, there would be an emotional connection. Want to
sure,
meet them.
But we're sure, but we're talking about, you know, a couple of movies. You know, I mean,
but maybe they see it as art, and that's,
they do, and I do too. I do see it as art as well, and I think it's, and I've actually seen some of the movies and enjoyed them or whatever. But I wouldn't. I mean, I certainly wouldn't jump at an opportunity to go have dinner with the person.
I think it's the whole emotional kind of. They're not really looking at the person. They're just in awe.
Exactly.
Not really seeing, or they're not connecting or seeing that person for a person. They're in awe of the celebrity of it all.
Exactly.
Rather than, and I'm sure it must get old for the celebrities that have to. Yeah.
Yeah. And they actually, it's funny that you say that, because, you know, they actually mentioned that everybody at dinner was like, so, kind of acting as a fan, from like as a fan, versus treating the person just like as a normal human being and an individual. But my friend wasn't behaving that way, and so he took a liking to my friend, and they kind of basically had one-on-one conversation the entire night. But it was still this
awkward fan setting.
It was just weird to hear my friend, you know, come the next day and go on and on and on and on about this dinner and how amazing this person was, and how they were honored to have met this person. And that's just really weird.
Happen to you, Sam.
I mean, I look back at when I was younger.
I think we're all victims of that to some degree. Whether maybe film is not our thing, or maybe.
I mean,
radio or whatever. It's like, I see that with radio personalities. I see that with,
to say that we're
immune to it ourselves, like maybe we might see some great fakeologist or some whatever. And
I don't really operate that way. I definitely can look back on, you know, my younger self, when I was like, you know, when I was heavily involved in sports. I used to play a lot of sports, and I used to follow sports, and I had athletes that I was in awe of and I looked up to, and I've met athletes over the years, you know, the professional basketball players and this and that, and these people that I put up on a pedestal and was just like in awe when I met them, you know? And I look on that now, and I just think that's just so ridiculous and silly. I wouldn't, you know, I'm almost ashamed to look at my younger self and be like, why were you, like, how could you have, why did you act that way, or why were you so in awe of this person who throws a ball in a hoop for a living? You know, it's just, I would never even seek out the opportunity, even someone who I really respected or was a big fan of, I wouldn't be like, oh, I want to have dinner with this person and then just, you know, be in awe of their existence. You know, like their shit doesn't stink, you know? Like they go to the bathroom and they poop roses.
Losing sight of people for people.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. It's like we're all the same. You know, we all have our differences and intricacies, but we're all humans. No one's better than anyone else just because they just because they had some accomplishment or achievement doesn't make you a better human being or better person than the next person just because you have more success. I mean,
they say that, but everybody's plugged in. So they look at it and they'll, yeah, but that's different. Watching this show, and I'll back with you on that.
What was that?
That for the people that are plugged in, do say that, but they're distracted and they're probably saying, "You just finished this show, and I'll talk to you about it later, Sammy."
Yeah,
because it's they preach that, but yet nobody seems to feel that. They're all busy with their eye on the ball.
You know, it's funny. I've had many experiences in my life where someone observes me performing, and suddenly they're attracted to me or they're drawn to me. Not necessarily in a romantic way, but it could be that.
What do you perform?
I DJ and I throw events. So sometimes I'm a host. I host an event. So even if I'm not performing musically, I'm just in a position of, I am the host for the evening. I'm hosting this event.
You're the mini celebrity.
Yeah, so it's like, and it's just so strange. It's like, oh, this is your event? You know, it's like, suddenly I am commanding attention and respect because of something that I'm doing, not because of who I am.
Definitely, lots to study in psychology, why people do what they do.
Yeah, I think it's the one thing that most people don't understand, their own psychology and how they're being manipulated every day.
That's what my whole journey with the psychology, realizing how easy they are to be. Oh, yeah, they do. There's no such thing as hypnosis, and they're rolling, and you oil hat away.
You're breaking up. Hello?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I don't know. You're breaking up a little bit.
Sorry. I just, thing that I've learned that in a journey and realizing how we are truly manipulated. And the manipulation goes on all day long. It goes on with, just spinning icons or symbols that you see on the road.
Oh, how about
numbers?
How about,
numbers that they hit you with,
How about just the idea of the ground that we're standing on, and that we're all so sure that we're standing on a spherical Earth. Just something very basic and fundamental as the ground that we're standing on.
We really don't know anything.
No, we don't.
But it's okay.
But we're so sure that we know. But we're so sure that we're so sure of that, at least. Even people who are open minded and say, I don't know anything, but I do know that I'm standing on a spherical Earth.
I do think that's funny when people know, very emphatically know something, but I think it's okay not to know. I think that's the challenge, is to feel comfortable not knowing whether this is the truth or not.
Right.
I think I'm getting there. I don't really have to know that I'm living around Earth.
Yeah.
What does it really matter? If it's flat or if it's round, we already know they're lying to us.
I think there's some benefit in knowing what's not true. I think I agree with what you said that. We should come to a place of comfort where it's okay that we don't know. But I think there's value in understanding what's not true, even though you don't know what the truth is, that you can look at something and say, okay, well, I know that that's not true.
I think when you let go of all those things that you don't know and the fear, and you can look at your family and you can know that it's a place of peace. I guess my goal is connecting with others and finding peace. Be right. I don't have to love and along with my family, live in my life, not live wanting to have a life.
Yeah, that's all that really matters is what you're saying. Love and connection and how you treat others. Intellect and, indoctrination and, PhDs, that stuff doesn't matter.
Labels.
What was that? I missed your last.
Oh, I said labels.
Yeah, labels or letters after your name. People define themselves in this world by their careers and their accomplishments. And it's meaningless.
You know, we're all in different places.
Like, have you ever, another big thing in my life is touch, you know, just the idea of that, especially in our society, we don't really touch people a lot. And you can see it, you know, I volunteer sometimes at the old folks' place, and, you know, we go and give them little massage, like mini massage. And you can see these old people, like, they don't have any touch. They just want to be touched by another human being.
Yeah, I do that on my volunteer night. I'm always touching people, like on their arms and.
Yeah, it's so important.
And I think they really like that.
Yeah,
there was one lady that doesn't, but I think she didn't. Yeah, but. For the most part, I think that's
connecting. It's a good way to connect and to express your love just by, let's say, giving somebody a hug, for example.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm sure you can tell when you see see your friends, you give your friend a hug, and then the next day you see another friend, you give that friend a hug. And there's such a huge spectrum of energy between those different hugs that you're exchanging with people. Sometimes you hug someone and you can just feel their love and the way that they wrap their arms around and squeeze you. Versus other times you might give someone a hug and it's very cold and rigid, you know?
Yeah, it's like we're conditioned to have a personal bubble now. We don't want to get into people's bubbles. Don't want to touch, don't want to get near them. That's something.
It is, and I think that
you wonder whether society is that natural of us, or I don't think it is it?
I think natural human nature would be would be to touch and to share that. I think that human behavior is to distrust and don't touch people and don't connect. That's what they want us. Yeah, they want us to be afraid of the burglar or the neighbors or the homeless person. You know, and make sure you lock your doors at night.
Do you lock your door, Sammy?
I do, but only because my mom is in fear, and if I didn't lock the door, she would.
I don't.
If I lived by myself. I mean, you know what? When I lived in Los Angeles, there was one night where we didn't lock our door, my roommate and I, and we got robbed.
Funny.
But they didn't steal anything really of value. There was a laptop, there were TVs, there was definitely some valuable things. I think maybe they took like took a Bluetooth headset. That was like the most valuable thing they took. You know what they did? They came into our apartment while we were sleeping and they took food from our refrigerator. They just wanted food.
Yeah. I had someone that did that and they took my little boom box and but there's someone here all the time, so it's not really. Anyways, I guess I should wind down for tonight. We lost Kay there. I hope she's not falling asleep on her burnt cookies.
Cool. Well, good chatting with you. I'm glad I just popped in for a few minutes. Yeah, that was a nice exchange of ideas.
Always good to talk positive with someone.
Yeah, and I appreciate a lot of what you said. I totally resonate with a lot of what you said, especially about the like embracing the, you know, what can we do every day in our lives to better ourselves and to better the world around us. It's local. It's all local, like you were saying. There's no need to be so afraid of the world and the whole weight of the world and its problems are on my shoulders, because none of that's real.
None of it we have any control over. What we need to do is control what we have.
Yeah, why worry about GMOs all day, every day, constantly with the fear and the media and the propaganda, when you can just go to the hospital and work directly with a cancer patient?
Right. True. You know, you have to read and stay informed, and you have to pick through, you know, what is real and what's not, I guess. But for the most part, you have to be more present in your own life rather than not.
Caught up with these grand ideas of space exploration.
Yeah. Well, you have a good night.
You too, Vidya. I'll chat
you
soon.
I will talk to you later. Good
okay,
talking
good night.
To you, Sammy. Good night.
You too. Bye.
Hi. This is Java Ring, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.